Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
Happy New Year, motherfuckers! I'm Kevin Metal!
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And I'm Tristan Gregson. And in 2016, what's old is new again, just like in Star Wars for Heavy Meta.
Sometimes
things change, sometimes they don't. We don't really have show notes. We're firing from the hip because it's spoiler season.
I'm drinking.
I'm super excited about it.
Oh, dude, I've been drinking since 4 o'clock.
I would hope so. All the crap
it is
me since we got on this call an hour ago. Yeah, I hope.
Yeah. Folks, we are, it is a new year. As you know, a couple episodes, we promised a all Twitter hole episode, and that is kind of what we're going to attempt to do. But unfortunately, there's been so much new news.
I mean,
there's just so much new stuff to talk about. We're going to start there, and then we're going to end off with a grand Twitter hole extravaganza.
I think the difference is like our normal episodes, what we're doing is like, hey, we should probably fill this episode full of as much magic content as we can and then get to the Twitter hole because we know the Twitter hole is going to take a long time. But we're going to try to plan that for the end. And sometimes it ends up being fucking an hour worth of magic and 2 hours worth of Twitter hole. But this one, we're trying to do the opposite. We're like, let's stuff a little bit of magic at the beginning because we have to, because there's shit to talk about.
If you guys want, that's fine.
I feel like we have to because there's shit that needs to be talked about. This is the one time where we could just go straight to the Twitter hole, but there's enough shit to talk about that we're like, we could talk about these spoilers and shit and then jump into the Twitter hole and do that.
I feel like I've had this conversation with several prominent members of the Heavy Meta SVU. There's only three times a year where we cast on a week that is dead, and those are the time. But it's so hard to plan, guys. Like I scheduled this was supposed to be last week, but we blew that one out the window. Yeah. Babies were happening and fucking New Year's is. We fucked up, guys, but I guarantee you we're going to try it tonight. We've been saving Twitter hole questions, so don't worry. It is not all Bruce Lee, even though you see his 90% of the tweets.
No, Bruce Lee did an amazing job helping us consolidate all of those and fucking and make them into a cohesive script for us to go off of. I got to give him credit for that, man.
I guess
Josh had a huge hand in that too. Proxy guy, like he doesn't have
small hands. We know that he is giraffe status.
Also, I know we probably give Josh way too much airtime, and I know Josh is like,
I don't think that's the truth these days.
I don't think so.
Josh has done plenty.
Yeah,
but I know from his
every minute he gets.
His point of view is that we do it too much, but his new Stephen Raphael giraffe with an Eeyore hat, which is what we suggested in the rain.
It is so beautiful.
All I'm going to say is, look guys, Heavy Meta is due for a shirt. I personally, I don't know if you agree, if you do, please tweet us. I would like just that image on a shirt. I would wear that shirt. and basically we could just title it like, is it Friday again? Like, I feel like it's the best embodiment of Josh ever. So I don't know. We're going to try and make that happen and see what works out, but golden.
I love it. Just golden guys.
Now let's get the elephant out of the room. Because
sure,
I think
elephants in the room. I thought we were talking about giraffes. Dude. Kind of weird
we were.
Do we have going on here?
We were, but today a very interesting thing occurred. So for a long time, Wizards of the Coast and spoiler season has revolved around the fact that the community has believed that a finance cast could not get a spoiler because their finance, and Wizards of the Coast does not promote finance. Today, no fault against them, you know, MTG Goldfish got a spoiler. Now, I'm going to preface this with two things. One, MTG Goldfish and Saffron Olive and all the guys at the Goldfish crew are amazing, and they deserve the spoiler. Two, yes, is that a slight against Brainstorm Brewery, which is probably a notch above all of us? Yes, but the caveat to this entire thing is this. And I know a lot of people have asked me. They've been DMing me all day. Guys, Heavy Meta is never getting a fucking spoiler in either of Brainstorm Brewery. And do you know why? It is because
we...
It's probably 25% asshole, but it's probably because we cater to an audience that is above and beyond the content level at which Wizards of Coast wants to sell to. Yeah. So am I upset about that? No. I'm not. I understand. We're catering to the adult audience, and it's fine. So unless they want to, and that's up to them, if they want to change the cast and bring it down to a PG-13 level, that's great. And I hope they do. I hope they're rewarded with it. This cast is not that. We're never going to target that market.
We're way more than 25% asshole on this cast. We're definitely...
Well, Gumby's not here.
Let's not even get into the fucking how much testicle and dong percentage we are on this cast, too.
In terms of the magic community, we are breaking barriers.
I pretty much sealed our fate. Every time I put a picture of my dick on Twitter and put HMSVU behind it, we're not getting a spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I know a lot of people in the SVU are upset because they feel like, why aren't we representative? But you know what, guys? Like, you really have to come to the conclusion that Magic is not for you. No, Magic's not for you. That Magic is not sold to you. It is you play.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Like, fucking Magic. It's not so much that Magic is not for you. It's just Magic.
Sorry. It's not sold to you. Right. Yes, exactly.
It's not like Star Wars, which is for everyone. No. Magic is.
This guy's gonna. You know what? I swear to God, I will put a separate episode out. It's like 45 minutes long, but me and TSG argue about Star Wars.
We did.
We're not gonna go there.
Quite a while.
We're not going there, but I get it. And so, you know, don't get upset. Support the people that are making awesome content, because really that's what matters. And if they can get there, that's fucking great. Also, I have to say one thing. Wedge followed me. So in your face, motherfuckers. I'm almost mainstream now. I don't know about you guys.
Who followed you?
Yeah, Wedge followed you. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Oh, man, TMS Wedge, baby. I'm there. I've got a community member following me.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, my God. Come on. How do you know who Wedge is?
I literally thought you were talking about, like, Wedge from Star Wars.
Like, this is like a Wedge Googling thing.
Oh, you're such whores. All right, let's get it.
Oh, okay. So he was so excited. He feels so burnt and slighted now. He's all, you guys don't know who that is? Fuck you. Gonna go in the corner.
Sorry, I consume Magic content. Obviously, you guys don't. All right.
Hey, let's... You never know. Just because this week we're like 50% asshole doesn't mean that at some point we couldn't become less than a 5% asshole. Just small thin poops, and we might actually get a spoiler somewhere down the road. We would just have good behavior for a few years. And I think
So you mean when Kevin Metal dies? Like, I don't think that's happening.
Maybe he's got kid four. Maybe his deal.
Sure.
The casual fucks will be a little, and that's the verbiage, casual fucks, will be a little less frequent.
Maybe when the world language catches up to Kevin Metal's demeanor, yes, I would agree with that.
I was putting ice in my cup. I missed that, and then you brought me up. I thought you guys were just talking about inane shit that didn't matter to me.
All right, well, here, let's talk about two things that I think are really important. So, as you know, a lot of people have asked me, why are you so concerned about, you know, modern right now and that. I'm like, well, as you know, for the past almost two fucking years now, I've been attempting and failing largely to try to build the modern gauntlet. I've got Grixis built. I got half a twin. I got kind of Jund built.
Are these actual deck names? Or are you just...
Dude, these are
full... partial decks. Like, you're just all, it's kind of Jund. It's half.
Well, okay. So the plan was, I'm building tier one. Mm-hmm. But the problem is I only have half of the cards for most of these decks. Right. I have like two full decks built. The problem is, dude, there's too much overlap. Like Steam Vents, or not Steam, it's Scalding Tarn. Mm-hmm. Fuck that, man. Like, I got a playset I can't. I just can't justify two playsets to run two different
that.
Decks.
Like, like shit like that, you just swap it in. Are you, you're talking about Moto or you're talking about fucking?
No, dude, I'm talking paper.
Paper, right?
Hey, dude, I'm following TSG's fucking grand leader Snoke over here. His grand decree from 2 years ago would fucking get out of Moto, dude. I've been trying,
I totally see that. I was saying like, of course, like if you've got, you know, if all your decks have Scalding Tarn in them, doesn't matter on Moto. But I get what you're saying in paper, but I still like I just fucking sleeve all your decks the same color and swap them out as you need them.
That's a good way to do it. I often proxy 100%. Other decks to be able to do multiples at one point in time. Like you, like when you go to the dance, you're only wearing one pair of pants. Like,
yeah, although they don't. Sometimes I'm not wearing pants at the dance, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, like my play group is very we've become very refined with our proxying. We're very proud of it these days, and thusly, you know, when you go out. You only need one copy. I understand. Like, there was definitely a time where my roommate hated, like, it was like, if we're going to build the gauntlet, they need to be, you know, whatever the dual lands or whatever, you need to get as many copies as there are decks for, because that's the only way I'll play, like, take it seriously. But over the years, we've refined the process. It just takes time, man. You just got
to
work on it.
I think I've come to a very interesting place in terms of understanding Magic and collecting Magic and building Magic decks. And it's weird because I spend 99% of my time hedging and guessing about which cards I need to buy now for the lowest price instead of playing cards. So I actually don't play Magic anymore. I just sit around and try to buy the cards at the lowest cost, which is very infuriating because then people are like, hey, you're going to play cards? I'm like, no, I can't because I just dropped 400 bones on all these cards, and now I got to go work to pay for that shit because it's a cycle, and I'm not going to get too deep into it. But
sister brother. Yeah, completely.
Sister brother. Right? Right. but I mean, like, we've got a lot of modern events coming up. Face has got a few MDSS series in February that I want to go to. They're all modern. So, as a lot of people know, I've been playing Grixis Control with Jay Snaps, like that whole deal. Yeah, the problem is that deck is getting rolled by Eldrazi Hardcore. So I've been, like, freaking out at all these spoilers just watching... fucking the Eldrazi deck just get everything it needs.
Well, when you say the Eldrazi deck, do you mean like a version of Tron that has existed in prior forms, or is there some new deck in modern that is very much Eldrazi centric?
I mean, if you watched SCG Live, which I did, which was actually very good, also Cedric Phillips is hands down one of the best presenters out there. I didn't necessarily love the new guy. I can't remember his name. He was okay. I think he needs a little bit of work, but it was fine. The black-white Eldrazi deck, there's a black-white Eldrazi in modern, and there's a mono-black Eldrazi in modern. most people are erring on the side that the black-white version has more sideboard tools and it's better. Very impressive showing. Two of them got into the top eight. Yes, they did not win, but... the deck is real. Like I've played it online on Magic Online. I've entered several modern leagues. I've played against the deck like 40 matches now against my Grixis Control deck, and it is extremely hard to win. You can win. Now, again, that's my perspective as a Grixis Control player. I'm sure if you're playing Green-White Hate Bears, it's fucking way easier to beat that deck. But, again, it's just something I'm running into.
It's a bad matchup.
It's a very popular deck. Yeah, like Les is building it. Yeah, Les is building it. Ian's like, so many people are building this deck. It's actually very fun. I think I have almost all the tools to build it online. I haven't played it myself, but I've watched it play it. I've watched Ari Lox play it. I've watched fucking Sam Black play it now. It's a very interesting deck. The interesting thing about the whole thing is I really feel like in 6 months or maybe even sooner, we're going to see Tron and the Eldrazi deck merge in modern and become a superpower deck because... there's way too many like pushed cards. It reminds me of New Phyrexia, where they pushed Phyrexian mana and now they're pushing like colorless mana. And Tron lands plus Eldrazi and Eldrazi Temple and Eye of Ugin, those cards equal a unfair mana base in modern. And I think we're going to see a deck that is going to be 100% tier one and extremely hard to beat. So I don't know where all the pieces are going to align, but I can see all the tools coming together. There's several people like Tyler LaFro. He is like, that's his mission in life. He is going to build that deck. He's like, give me 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, I just feel like there's so – the mana is so good. It's so effective. It's so powerful. It breaks every rule that Modern is supposed to play around. And the fact that this set just conveniently plays into the fact that, you know, colorless matters, it's like a two-for-one, right? You know, you had Zendikar, and then you had Rise of the Eldrazi, and they gave you a few pieces that were all big and fat. And then now Battle for Zendikar and Oath are giving you all the low-end pieces and the spells. Holy shit, like, this deck is absurd. So, I don't know. I'm very curious to find out, but I've watched cards that were 50 cents go to $10. And, dude, that's insane. I don't know what else to say. It's just like, wow. Modern is definitely getting a shakeup. Whether or not we get a banning, I feel like it's already been shaken up. Like,
yeah,
this Modern Pro Tour is going to be nuts. And we haven't even gotten the banning news yet. Like, if they unban Stormforge Mystic, I don't even think that's going to do shit. I think people are going to be like, who gives a fuck? Warping Whale, bam. Like, Warping Whale, we just got that card spoiled together. I got to tell you guys, Warping Whale is a card that is going to make...
I don't even know what that card does. I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, I'll tell you. Okay, so it's one in a colorless. It is an instant. It's a modular spell. Instant. Choose one. Exile target creature with power one or... power or toughness one or less. Counter target sorcery spell or put a 1/1 Scion token into play. Here's the thing. The first ability gets rid of Dark Confidant, Jace, Stoneforge Mystic, Ooze on one. It gets rid of almost all the powerful one drops.
What was it?
It's a very weird clause. It's exile target creature with power or toughness, one or less.
So whose card are you talking about?
Scavenging Ooze, isn't it?
Scavenging Ooze is a 2/2.
All right, sorry, not Scavenging Ooze. A bunch of people were talking about it, so I'm probably misquoted.
I think you got the card right. For one colorless and one generic mana, it's the instant counter target sorcery spell or exile target creature with toughness or power one or less. And the last one is you just make a Scion, which I'm sure will win a game somewhere out there. But yeah, there's a laundry list of creatures.
Thank you as well.
A laundry list of creatures that this hits. It is very unique in what exists. This might actually be a vintage playable Magic card.
I think this is cube insanity. Like, I don't know about you, but like, the more I watch this colorless thing evolve, I feel like this is an entirely new archetype in cube. Like, probably we have to add like 10 cards to the cube to support it. Like, I don't know.
No, I mean, we just did the math on my box, and the percentage of artifact, or I guess I should call it the colorless section, the percentage of the colorless section plus the land section that currently produces specifically colorless mana is 23%. That's without making any adjustments whatsoever. You know, we've already looked at the list of potentially different lands to be able to play to maybe enable colorless more. The number one category or number one cycle that there is talk about having a rejuvenation because of this is the Ice Age / Apocalypse Pain lands. There's a lot of opportunity to play those. I don't think I'm going to go that far. I think I'm just going to add a few more sources, some colorless lands that I had been considering playing before. But as it stands right now, there's probably only 3 or 4 colorless Magic cards cards with colorless activation or casting cost that I'm actually considering for the cube, and that's going to be such a minor percentage overall that I think that a lot of people out there are potentially going to warp their cubes if they're going to affect their mana bases so much to play. It's just a handful of cards. Even if you name off everything you think is amazing or everything you think is cube worthy, you're not going to get above 8 cards right now, which is, you know, just over 3% of a cube most often of the time. So I think that it actually helps the format because what it does do is it changes your card evaluation. Now you're more excited to see a card like Grand Coliseum. You're more interested in the filter lands. You know, you're going to maybe change your mana base ever so slightly. Take out a card like Cold Steel Heart and Fel'War Stone. Instead, play more of the original Mirrodin Talismans. You know, and again, if you're MTG Finance, you should definitely be looking at the more sought-after foils of cards like that. Like 7th Edition foil Painlands and Apocalypse foil Painlands are going to only go up in price. because a lot of people are going to be changing their queues because of it. Personally, I'm not going to go super deep on it, like I said, affecting such a small percentage. I'm not even sure if I'm going to run Kozilek, just because I'm not sure. But
yeah, that's the card that really, for me, I was like, if I'm running Kozilek, then I got to fucking have the mana to cast him. But if I'm like, fuck it, it's Ulamog and that's it, then I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Well, there's the one I'm most excited about out of all the cards I've seen is the 5/5 trample haste for 5 that if you target, you have to like sack something. I forget what it's called. I'm sure I figured out what we see here. That's like the number one where I was like, all right, well, that's going to go in for sure. And past that, like, what's my interest level or what am I really considering on these cards? And yeah, Kozilek is powerful. It's just, it doesn't have as much of a hit power when you reanimate it. It's much more like a, you really want to cast it kind of Titan, unlike the other ones.
I mean, we've gotten such bizarre, like, Thoughtseize on a stick, Thought Not Seer. I mean, he's 4 mana, but he's a 4-fill Eldrazi, and then when he enters the battlefield, target opponent reveals to his hand, you choose a non-land card from to exile it, and then when he leaves play, target opponent draws a card. So it's like, that is such a fucking weird card. Like, it's too slow for modern, but it's like in cube, this card sounds fucking amazing because
I mean, if your opponent has what? Like, what if your opponent has no hand, you can't cast it. Like,
that's what makes Thoughtseize good is you can play it on fucking turn one.
Yeah, like, you're always gonna hit the good shit in your hand.
It's kind of like,
come on, guys, come on, dude. We're talking cute.
Reality Smasher. That's the guy I was thinking about, sorry.
Yeah, Reality Smasher. But like, Thought Not Seer, dude, you're not casting this on turn 4. Probably turn 3, maybe turn 2.
Even if the only time like, that's why Thoughtseize is good. You can cast it on fucking
You're missing the point. No, you're missing the point, dude. You're drawing. Okay, let's see.
Isn't even that good in cube. Like, Thoughtseize is.
Oh, I don't know. Thoughtseize is pretty fucking dope,
pretty
dude.
Good. It can't depend. Yeah,
Thoughtseize is like top 10%.
It depends a little bit on the cube itself. End of the day, I'm not really into the 4/4 for 4. So every time I look at that symbol now, I keep thinking it's
Thought Not Seer.
Yeah, I keep thinking it's Phyrexian mana. I was like, I don't know, 2 life.
So do I.
That card's probably way better.
Yeah.
just the I don't know. And again, it's not truly colorless is part of the other problem for me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, well, now like the blue deck has better discard. Not necessarily. Like, not no, but not necessarily.
Okay, so then obviously cubes had, because we're into cube right now, obviously cubes had a ton of bounce enabling creatures. Do you like the new Eldrazi Displacer?
Oh, I thought you were 2 and 1 white Reflecting Mage, which I was into, or Reflector Mage. I am into Reflector Mage.
Well, let's talk about him in a second. Let's talk about the bouncing Eldrazi.
What does that guy do?
Okay, so he's 3 mana. He's 2 and a white.
The 3/3 for 3. Yep. Okay, so that guy,
yeah,
I talked about him earlier. Is he do either side of the battlefield for 3 mana? Let me see here. Exile.
So he is.
Then return to the battlefield. Tapped. So it doesn't delay until end of turn, so it's not wrath proof. It does do it on either side of the battlefield, so that's good. And it does return it tapped, so you can use it as an offensive attack card.
Not as good.
It's okay. So the number one thing that jumps to mind is to liken this card to Gale Powder Mage. So you're gonna be activated on turn 4. That kind of thing. And when you compare it to Gale Powder Mage, and you realize how little impact Gale Powder Mage had on cube, it's also not that great. I mean, you don't want to eat your entire turn. You like, let's say, there are definitely times where it's amazing. Just like it's like, think about Momentary Blink. There are times when you like hit Momentary Blink and it's like, oh yeah, this is the greatest thing ever. And there are other times when it's not, right?
I feel like this card, though, like in modern, if it's being run in the Black Red Eldrazi deck, feels super powerful, because if this is on the battlefield, I mean, if I'm twin, I fucking can't play into that. I gotta get rid of this. Now I'm dealing with this spell skate. Like, I feel like this is a really interesting card. Maybe it's not as powerful as some of the options that you've seen, but it's very interesting. Like, I feel this card is trying to hit a very sweet spot.
It's definitely not
for modern.
Oh, you're talking about like for constructed play in modern?
For modern, yeah. In a Black White Eldrazi deck, this deck
white
sounds
modern.
Crazy. The Black White Eldrazi deck does. What are you talking about?
Wait, so this is like a brand new deck, though. I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. This is like
oh my god.
No, this is like a legit question. Okay. It's the same one that keeps beating your Grixis deck.
Yes. Yes. I have extremely bad matchup. I've realized, for those who want to know, that Blood Moon is not powerful enough. I know.
Don't you ever say that.
It's not. It is. I have turn 3 Blood Moon, and it has just delayed the game. It has actually not stopped them. Crumble to Dust at the correct moment delays them again, but it doesn't stop them. The most important thing against, if you're Grixis and you're facing this deck, is you need a turn 2 Tasigur because you need pressure. All you can do is delay. No card answers their deck. You need to delay them. So you need to have pressure on the board as early as possible, and then you need to just draw like a fucking champ and delay the shit out of them and smash them with Tasigur, Snapcaster, Bulbul. Like, otherwise you're fucked. Like, it is that is a very hard matchup. Every turn you give them, you're probably not winning the game. So it's just very frustrating. So, like, everything I look at is like, where are the tools for my deck? Maybe I'm building the wrong deck. Maybe I should just pilot a new deck. That's kind of what I'm coming to. I built the wrong deck, guys.
God damn it, Maddie. Why are you fucking this up for everybody?
I know, right? I know. It's totally bullshit. Here's a card, though, that I find hilarious because, as Mero has said many times, he will not. The point of making cards for a new standard set is to not make cards that are pointless and limited. Yet, Hedron Alignment is the Norbertiest Norbert card in the Norbert world. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, everybody's shitting on it, like, this is stupid. I'm like, no, this card is for Norbert, and it's for all those crazy people out there that want to break it. The card's stupid. Honestly, it's an enchantment for 3 mana with Hexproof, and you have to basically get a copy of it in exile, in your graveyard, in your hand, and on the battlefield to win. Good luck, guys. I can't even wrap my brain around how that works, but sweet. I hope you work it out, but how horrible is that as your rare in your pack? Oh, dude, like that just stings. You know, like, I'll be honest.
There are way worse cards. Like, that's a card I'd want to open.
What? For what reason? It's unlimited? It's pointless.
Look, because no one wants one of these. Everyone has to have 4 of them. Right? Yeah. So all the kids out there that want to build this deck need to have 4. So this card will never be bulk.
Yeah.
What?
True.
Dude, that's like saying Laboratory Maniac was never bulk. Come on.
That's not the same at all, you idiot. You only need one of those.
You idiot.
Okay.
This is the literal inverse. Like, you could not have picked a worst example.
Okay, Biovisionary fucking... whatever that guy is.
No one wants one Squadron Hawk, Maddie. Everyone needs 4.
You know what? I would run 3 Squadron Hawk just because I didn't want to take the 4th slot up. I got to that metagaming level. Anyways, I get it. I get it. That's not a problem. I want to talk to you guys, though, about the Oath cycle of Gatewatch. This feels like a Josh Whedon Avengers movie to me, which, again... I'm fine. I'm fine with it because I get it. You're setting up a magic movie. I gotta be honest, man. I'd pretty much love to watch this movie. It sounds fucking awesome. So I love what they're going for here, but I feel like, why does Chandra have to get the shittiest?
Chandra always gets fucked.
But why? Like, the other oaths are actually cool and interesting. They don't need to nerf red this hard. I just don't get it. TSG, tell me you're telling me if that was just a bolt instead of a whatever fucking nerfed cycle it is, what would that do? It wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, I didn't really get caught up on any of these cards because they're all like super narrow and they all kind of go in the same commander deck at the end of the day. I think that old magical curmudgeon that the first thing I thought about was the fact that the green one somehow is the best one in this cycle, which is like
it
never
is.
Happens. So I was like excited for that. And it's one green, and it's kind of like that conspiracy card that allowed you to play any one spell regardless of mana cost. So like you could like in draft, you could draft a Gideon or whatever in your green blue deck or, you know, whatever the case may be, and it totally works out for you, and that's great.
I honestly, like, the Nissa Oath is I know PV will have a heart attack, and I know a lot of you pros are like, do not compare this to Ponder, but Green, as a Green Mage who played Green Machine and has Green Machine sleeved, holy shit balls. This card is amazing. This is Ponder for Green. So
so I don't really look at the red one and give a shit. It's like, well, one always has to be bad. This time it's the red one. Usually it's the, usually it's the green one. But this time around,
or the white one.
I mean, is the red one even really that bad with the way fucking burn spells are moving these days? Like, fucking two mana for three damage to a creature is pretty much on par for fucking a normal green fucking, like, oh, maybe it's, like, that's pretty much what they do nowadays. Like, oh, it's two mana, and you do three damage to a creature or to an opponent, not either one of them. And
yeah, so lightning strike, at
sorcery speed, but there's a fucking thing tacked onto it if you happen to be playing Planeswalker. Like, it's not really that bad because, like, nowadays burn spells are fucking hard to come by anyway. Like, so this is like a normal burn spell. Like, it's a normal burn spell with a fucking...
Sure. It's like a shitty lightning strike.
Right.
It's a sorcery speed lightning strike with some bullshit that'll never...
on the end of it. But, like, I mean, that's basically the state of red these days. So,
I guess. I mean, maybe they push aggro on red so far that they gotta nerf it back a bit on the other end.
You should play one of those fucking, like, Koth, Sarkhan, fucking Chandra, fucking big red planeswalker decks.
Big red? Oh, dude. I was reading Safranala's big red deck, and I'm like, yeah, that is definitely... I have all the cards.
I kind of like that.
I love it. Dude, maybe I actually just want to bring it one day to fucking modern tournament. Just be like, all right, I'm casting Pestermite. I'm like, Koth, bitch, hit you with a mountain. Yeah, I die next turn, but that's fine.
See, I can't do that shit. I really want to play with fucking decks like that, and then I'm just all, ugh, especially if I'm playing red. I think I got to get out of my mindset. Like, if I'm playing a different color, I can play a different way. But if I'm playing red, I just sit there and get pissed off and frustrated that if I don't draw a lightning bolt, then, like, why the fuck am I even playing? Like, this is stupid. And actually get into red planeswalkers and be like, really? Like, I gotta make decisions and do shit. I'm playing red. I should just be drawing a card and hitting you with three, and drawing a card and hitting you with six, and draw. Like, I think it's like a mental block. Like, if I'm playing red cards, that's the only way I should be playing. I need to play other colors to get out of my fucking box.
Yeah, you do, dude. That is at least why I love the Modern Gauntlet, because I can bounce around. I can try decking. Different. Yeah,
I tried doing that, and I am doing that. Like, I have my burn deck, and then I have a couple of black aggro decks that don't go above three on the fucking mana curve, and then but they're black and they play zombies and they do different shit. I recently just fucking revamped my fucking my burn deck too. I added I took away white and I added a bunch of legacy cards. So
what?
No, I just
okay. Burn legacy.
I just went over to fucking legacy burn. It's basically it's not too hard to transform back, but I just went to mono red and legacy stuff. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. But no, like, seriously though, I feel like I have to get out of my comfort zone, but it's hard to do in red. Like, I've seen some red decks, like big red decks that I want to play, but as soon as I start playing with fucking red spells, I just get back into this hole where I'm like, I've got to play other colors to get out of that.
You just need to play blue, dude. Actually,
we'll get into that in a little bit. That I've got a fucking a deck brewing in my head, which I don't do often anymore. But I've shit going on in my head that I mean, it may not be like wildly off the map or anything. It's but yeah, with that fucking what's his name, the red blue fucking dude.
Jor Diver, the new Jor-El Diver.
That guy, the fucking the other one, the
Goblin Electromancer.
No, a Storm Chaser Mage. That little uncommon.
Storm Chaser Mage.
Yeah, you posted it.
Oh yeah. Oh, the new prowess guy. Yeah.
And like I've got some things fucking dancing around in my head about like the you know Storm Chaser Mage and Delver and fucking Swift Spear with some
yeah dude yes
called, like with Probe and what
yeah Mutagenic Growth
like I think I might get into playing with some shit like that just like a red blue base like not really getting into like the whole like fucking Delver thing too much but like Delver for value with these prowess cards and all of the burn. Like all the burn that I'm normally running, but getting rid of, like, sadly, like taking out Goblin Guide,
maybe to kind of make more room for this type of shit. Get rid of.
Oh, no. Dude. Goblin Guide, all your one drops in that kind of like prowess deck.
Yes, Goblin Guide's amazing. Don't get me wrong, but Goblin Guide doesn't do shit for these prowess creatures. So, like.
No, dude. What are you talking about? It hits early. Like, you have to have that. If you're gonna make a blue red prowess deck.
Spear hits fucking turn one just like Goblin Guide does, but just with one less fucking. And it still does the same shit. But what I'm saying is, like, the slots gotta go. And to me, I feel like
I disagree.
If I'm gonna start building around this, I got all of the best of the burn package. We ditched Goblin Guide, and we've got old Storm Chaser Mage here, Delver, and then, you know, some of the lesser burn spells out of the burn package go away for shit like Ataxian Probe and stuff like that. I haven't gotten into sitting down with it and brewing and figuring out what would be best. This is more just like a mental exercise I've been doing with it since I saw that card. I was like, oh, you know what? This might be a thing. Like, don't get me wrong. Goblin Guide is like the best red creature out there. Like, I fucking love that guy. I don't like getting rid of him, but in a deck like this,
you know what? I'll give you this. Storm Chaser
be fucking Delver and Swift Spear, because all of these fucking, like, yes, it's great to have 2/2 every fucking turn, you know, from turn one on. But
I hear you. Here's the great thing: he's a 1/3, so he dodges Pyroclasm, which is huge. So I like it. Like, I really, really do. In fact, I'm gonna totally try to get a set of foils.
Yeah,
because like. That card is dope.
I think it's going to look fucking sweet. But
I think if you're
able to push the shit through with, like I said, mutagenic growth, fucking like little. Are there any other, like, I'm kind of drawing a blank.
Yeah, you'd probably want to
good Phyrexian mana, like one drop Phyrexian mana, fucking spells like Get Probe and fucking.
Well, you know what you want to do. You're going to want to run Probe, mutagenic growth. Apostle's Blessing. That's like in all the. Like,
oh, the other one was fucking what's his fuck? That's in the, like, that gets played with.
Gotcha.
Abbott of Carol Keep. Like, maybe.
I don't know.
Abbott's nice because he's still a good fucking little, like, low drop creature, but he, you know, he does that thing like where you can
draw a card late game.
Well, no, it makes you like set up your draws for fucking Delver because you can either cast it or. Like, you know, if you do want it to go back to your fucking shit. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't do that. Never mind.
No, basically what he does is late game, like turn 4 or 5, you can flip a card when you cast him and potentially cast it for free.
Right.
The problem is that I've had with Abbott is it's not an early game creature.
For some reason, I was thinking that, like, I don't even want to get into it. I completely was thinking of that card the wrong way. I thought basically getting a peek at a card and then fucking could cast it or not. And then it was like it was going to go back to the top of my library or something.
No, it goes to exile.
Yeah, it just stays in exile. Anyway, but, like, I feel like maybe that fucking Storm should. And who knows? It just might not even work out.
No, you know what? In all honesty,
in those
cards, after
what he is, I think he's a good card.
I agree. I think after looking at BFZ, or like after like seeing how Battle for Zendikar rolled out, and now, like, okay, the expeditions were way better in battle, and these expeditions are way worse. But I feel like a lot of the card
almost
quality,
the possible worst. Like, remember, like,
I don't know, I mean. Dude, they're not horrendous. Yes, you have Wasteland. Yeah, you got some Filter Lands.
Tectonic Edge.
Okay, hey, dude, I agree. That's bad. I don't know why that should not have been in there. Any other card. Any other fucking card. Also, here's something to think about. Why have we not seen the other 5 cycle of Battlelands?
They're not in the block.
Honestly, what they should have done instead of fucking Tectonic Edge is just done a basic of each color in an expedition frame and called it good. Like that.
Oh my god.
That would have.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah, that would have been better. Like, people would have fucking been all about it. People would have been all, holy shit, that fucking sweet. It's a basic land and I'm fucking stoked about it. But no, they gave us Tectonic Edge instead. So, good job.
You know what, Kevy? I gotta give it to you, dude. I didn't think of that. A full art, no text, Like, basically the Tyrese Nelson freaking promo Judge lands, that kind of frame.
Those would have been better than Tectonic Edge, for sure.
Well, anything would have been better than Tectonic Edge, but after
I know.
That...
It's like David and I have that long-standing bet about one-mana elves, and when the bet is over, one of us has to buy the other one the cheapest expedition.
Tectonic Edge.
Yeah. So when it's all said and done, I'm going to walk with the $30
TikTok.
Yeah, I'm so stoked about this.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to a bunch of the finance casts. I listened to Frost's new Cartel Aristocrats cast, which those guys are hilarious. But even they were like, no, Tectonic Edge is not going to be the cheapest. It's actually going to be probably $80. And I'm like, what? Who? I can't imagine the person that's like, yeah, man, I need a Tectonic Edge to I want to totally like expedition Tectonic Edge to foil out my pimp super pimp fucking EDH deck. What? Like, dude, I don't see.
Wait, what was their worst one? I have to know now.
The worst one was what's the bad wasteland?
Dude, that's Tectonic Edge.
No. There was three. There's Wasteland,
there's
and then there's
sense.
There's another one, Strip Mine. Strip Mine's worse, apparently. I don't know. Anyways, I get it. You know, hey, they're destroying the world, and you had to put three land destruction, whatever. Anyways, I don't want to get that's bullshit. Let's just we already talked about that. That is dead. Let's talk about one more thing. Oath.
Is it this basic land thing? Now, after it came out of my mouth, I realized, like, why didn't they do that? That's so much better of an idea.
You know why? Because they're setting up for a cube product that is going to come out.
Not.
Yes. Oh, dude. Okay. Hey, man. I was talking to Chaz. I think the next product that they're going to drop, because we're not getting Modern Masters 2016, we're going to get a Cube Light or Cube Builder set, which is going to suck. Most of the cards are going to be shit. Everyone's going to complain. But the thing in it is going to be awesome lands. I have a feeling they're saving that.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they're like, hey, we gave it to you in BFZ and Oath. Use those things, which, you know, they're sweet. Also, I don't know about you guys. I have been trying desperately to find foil full art lands. They're fucking impossible.
I got some fucking, Zendikar Mountains in foil if you want them.
What I'm trying to look for is the sinkhole or toilet hole island of the new one.
Yeah.
I just want two in foil. That's it. And then I wanted like a planes. I don't even like. No one even likes this plane artwork. I was trying to find two of those. It's impossible. And then hey, anything Noah Bradley, you're fucked. Like I've asked Tony, can you please find these? And he's like, yeah, I've been trying. He's like, no, but I've been trying for – no, dude, Modern's so crazy here. I've been to, like, six game stores, and they're like, yeah, we have a stack of lands, but there's no foils. Nobody trades them in. I don't know. Maybe when Oath rotates, I'll be able to find two or three of these. I've been trying to buy them, though, off a game store instead of going on the internet, but who knows?
Sometimes
maybe the internet
you just got to use the intranet.
Sometimes you feel
right?
a nut.
No, like, hey, you can't talk to me about that. TSG has been to my game store. Like, if you wanted to go to the game store to buy anything, I'd be like, oh, sweet, there's a foil fucking, I don't know, Judge's Familiar. Sweet, nice, you put that in the case? All right, cool. Like that.
Ooh,
that's it?
That's
the shit that you're going to show me? They're just all, check it out, here's a fucking foil Lotlith Troll. Oh, okay. and like, yeah, there's jack shit there.
Oh my god. Also, to all the people that Mike Linneman that said that Emrakul was coming back in Oath, I believe we got two cards: Fall of the Titan and Bonds of Mortality. That basically showcase the Eldrazi Titans getting killed. So if I believe there's one mythic left that is Emrakul. Wow, dude, I will buy you a triple steak dinner at the restaurant of your choice. Because
that would be the best kept secret
like
in all
three
of...
Three fucking steaks?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Well, it can't be a regular snake. It's got to be triple, because not only did Wizards allow someone to spoil the 10 fucking foil mythics, but they purposely held back the Emrakul that no one knows about. Like, dude, it'll be the biggest reveal ever if Emrakul actually shows up out of nowhere and is like, yo, bitches, fuck you.
Yeah, it's not out. It's here.
Also, I can't get on board the crazy talk about Emrakul in Shadows of Innistrad. That's just crazy. Stop. People, that's so crazy. It breaks every storytelling element. It makes no sense. It's just, I don't get it. But again, Magic's not for me, so I'm probably wrong.
You're wrong.
But I don't get it. You know what? Emrakul is on Scars of Mirrodin right now, or New Phyrexia. That's a story that I want to see. Fucking villain versus villain. Let's do this. But anyways, is there anything else that has occurred in the world of the Magic, gentlemen, before we attempt to look at the Twitter of the whole?
I'm sure plenty, but let's just fucking blow past it.
There's nothing you guys want to talk about? All right.
I can't think of anything. Like, I've played minimum. Well, I've played a decent amount of
Magic. I mean, the Judge Mana Drain got spoiled today.
Oh, that's crazy. I don't even know. Yeah, with the digital artwork, right? From the cube?
Yeah, yeah. It was a mail out for all level 3s or higher, so that was a thing today.
How much is that?
Those are going to be pricey.
Yeah.
$1,000?
Don't even want to ask, man. Don't even want to ask.
Don't, dude. This is my prediction for 2016. TSG finally, or he probably won't. It'll be 2017 when he admits it. But 2016 is when his brain is going to tell him, dude, the cube is fine. You just have to stop.
I'm curious why TSG isn't a judge just for the foils first cube.
Yeah. Well, he's not allowed, isn't he? He can't work anywhere.
Being a judge takes up way too much time. Even for my meager holdings, it would not be a worthwhile venture. Yeah. Although, you know, with the cruise that is college coming to an end, I wouldn't be at all surprised if the cube as it stands doesn't last that long. But we'll see how it goes. I'm not...
No! just because you got a proxy.
Yeah, just because you got this clutch of this beautiful proxy cube.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, maybe...
You never know, man. Maybe JR will buy it off me or something, and then it'll stay in the family.
Yeah, there we go.
That'd be great, so then we can hear about JR friggin' solo drafting your cube on Money Draft.
JR hammer drunk one night, and he's just all, you know what, like, I do pretty well. Check it out. Here's an offer. And just fucking make you an offer on your cube. And, like, it's like me with fucking drunken buyer's remorse when I'm just all, oh, I bought some Geist at, like, the peak of their price. He'll be like, all right, I bought Tristan's cube at like fucking way more than market value. But whatever. You know, you fucking live and learn and just go on.
I think market value is probably what I'm going to be selling it at when push comes to shove one of these days. I don't think there's going to be extra premiums for the, I mean, even if you bought the whole thing at once, you'd get a deal. It wouldn't go the opposite direction.
I don't know.
Just parse it off one card at a time.
Cards drunk before and things happen that you don't expect to happen. You're like, wait a second, why did I do that? Well, you tried to offer me a lower price. 10 minutes later, you felt bad and you offered me more than it's worth. And so, you know, you were drinking and I sold it to you. Like, that shit can happen. At least in my world. Thank God I don't have the money to buy your cube. Because I'd be like, but wait, it's worth more than that because it's like the SVU fucking cube. And you're like, no, it's not. Like, we have a proxy one of those. I'm like, no. Here's 10 grand more. I do dumb shit with my money.
Oh, man. All I know is I have high hopes for 2016. Oath is... I gotta be honest, man. I mean, I was pretty negative on what I thought it was gonna be, and it looks kind of interesting.
Looks better.
I have
than
no idea.
For sure,
it does, right? It really does. The man land looks kind of interesting. I'm excited. All I know is the weekend after pre-release, the 17th of January, I'll be a face. I'll be drafting this thing all Saturday. So who knows? We'll see. We'll see what it turns out to like. And then boom, we're into Innistrad.
Don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. I don't want this boom we're into Innistrad bullshit. We're like 6 days into January. Breathe, man. Just let it breathe.
Well, dude, I'm excited, all right? What happens after?
Manny doesn't actually like playing with Magic cards. He hates buying Magic cards. He just loves talking about something new and exciting possibly coming out. Like, again, I work in the marketing department for Wizards because that's all you want to do, man.
Dude, it is. It's perfect. I'll say this. I had Scotty Mac over. We were working out, and we were both joking because it feels like Magic, as you get older, Magic is really exciting to just follow. You don't need to play the game. You just read about it.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing it for
all the drama. It's awesome.
Dude, like, I seriously, like, I stopped playing Moto. I'll go to fucking F&M with fucking TSG and fucking Marcel come fucking from Oakland to my house. Be like, all right, I guess I should probably go to F&M. And, like, I
casually crush it.
And my brother-in-law come over to play some fucking random-ass fucking somewhat legacy, somewhat modern fucking format that we play in our fucking hole. Other than that, I don't fucking play Magic anymore. But, like, it's enough of a fucking game. Like, you could seriously just follow the game, look at the cards that are coming out every fucking week and a half. Like, we got spoilers, and just fucking call it good. I don't know, maybe it is different because I'm on a podcast that, like, it makes me do this every week. Not makes me in a sense that, like, oh, I don't want to do it.
Come on now. I know for me.
It's not a sense that I don't want to do it. I love doing it. But it, like, yeah, I honestly feel like if it weren't for this cast, especially how, like, far out of touch I've been with it recently because I've got other shit going on in my life, I think that's how a lot of people kind of lose touch with playing Magic. And, yeah, you come and go. You know, sometimes you just leave it alone for a while. But I know for me, personally, if it weren't for this cast, I would have kind of just let it go a long time ago. And then it gradually, you know, I'd still paid attention to what was going on a little bit and check out some new cards, maybe play some games, and then it would have gradually fallen off and I'd have found other things to do. But because of this cast and doing this every week, it keeps me fucking invested in this game. I keep spending money that I shouldn't on this game. I keep, like, I keep wanting to look at spoilers and look at what's going on, and, you know, even though I've been dropping off lately, like, you know, what's going on with, like, what GPs are happening and what's happening in the GPs and what cards are doing what. And, like, I love it. Like, it's fucking awesome that, like, this podcast has given me that, like, lifeline, even though I don't have to play all the time. Even if I'm not playing all the time, I get to just fucking kick back and be like, I know how to play this game, and I enjoy this game, and I get to kick back and see what's happening.
Yeah, it's really shocking, you know, like, talking with Scotty, just like, you know, who's basically left the game and is being very cautious about how he approaches it and understand this, you know, it's a tripwire for him, and he's got to keep his distance. Mm-hmm. That the game is so invasive in your life, just reading articles, like, can just get you back in one day, you know?
Yep.
One card. Yeah, it's like one card. You're like, oh, damn, that's my jam. And you're back, so.
And everybody kind of, like, it's different, you know, for each individual person. But, like, you look at, like, David is a fucking great example. David couldn't be here tonight, which sucks. He wanted us to tell you guys that he, of course, wanted to be here tonight. But he's working, and this was the day that we figured out that we could cast, and he has to work. But he's going to be at GP Oakland this weekend. So,
which is going to be awesome. I hope he gets on camera. So, yeah, oh my gosh.
Like, it's been a while. Like, David,
grapple.
David lost touch for, you know, you guys that listen all the time. Like, you know that David's kind of been out of touch. He's a fucking machine when it comes to playing Magic, but he's had so much real life shit going on. He kind of had to let it fall away. And, you know, he hasn't been as on the grind as he used to be. And here he's going back to, like, go up to Oakland to go to a fucking GP this weekend and go fucking play. So he's, you know, he's getting right back into it. It took that, like, oh, hey, I've been out of it for a little while. I've got real life shit going on, and I'm right back into the fucking game. And, you know, each and everybody is different. We all kind of approach it differently. Sometimes you fall off for a little while. Like I said, me personally.
Well, hey, Kevy. So let's just talk quickly before we get into the Twitter hole. Mm-hmm. So Oakland, so TSG, are you going? Are you bringing the cube? Like, what's going down? Because I'm sure a lot of people are, like, listening to this driving down going, Yeah, what is actually going down? Because this is actually pretty big. I hear a lot of people are going to be there.
I know. They're going to sell out 2,000 spots very possibly on an event that is $70 to enter U.S. for Constructed.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Fuck that. I would not enter that, David. If you're entering Constructed, you're crazy. That's crazy
talk. Well, no, like David's got a legit opportunity of crushing it. Like, yeah, maybe he's
good.
He's coming
now, this,
off.
This was a bit of – I wouldn't say this was a debate. I had not known this because I was looking at I was looking at going to fucking Vancouver at the end of the month because I haven't been there since 2012. I'd like to meet up with some of the LRR guys I haven't seen in a super long time. It's like I maybe catch a game, whatever. And it was $60 Canadian.
I knew there was hockey in there somewhere.
I know. It was $60 Canadian to play Seal Deck at the end of this month with Oath, which just came out, right?
Right.
Well, that's, I mean, 60 Canadian is better than $70 for standard. Jesus.
Every single inch of my being agrees with you. Like, yes, that's how things should be. And so that was before I found out what the Oakland entry fee would be. And then I was talking to people just this week about going over there because again, it is run by people that do not like me personally and are kind of giant anus holes about everything. So because of that, I won't be playing. I mean, I'll probably be in the neighborhood, but I'm not going to be in any events or anything.
He'll be there.
I mean, here's what I don't get. So $70 to bring my own deck. What do I get? I get like five play mats?
They're jacked. Like the prices is it's the first week of the Stoneforge Mystic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it?
It's fucking beautiful how finance doesn't impact this game at all.
Oh, that card is going to be so much money then.
It's going to be handed out as well. Think of it, 2,000 are going to the players just in the main event. The judges are also getting them this time around. So there's going to be more of them.
Are they inside event prizes as well or no?
You know, I haven't looked because I won't be playing any. So it's kind of hard for me to...
Nice. Sorry, buddy.
I still don't care. Like, what the fuck is the deal? Like, Stoneforge is great. That's neat. But like, ugh.
Well, here's the thing. Okay.
I know everybody's like, oh shit, they're doing it as a fucking GP they're going to unban it in Modern.
Yes. Yeah. So when do we, TSG, when do we get the announcement? When is the next ban restriction?
No, it is now. It's always with the set releases, guys.
So, yeah, but it will be after GPO, right?
That is correct. So the hype machine is.
Oh, damn. I'm telling you, if I got one, I guarantee you they're going for like $50.
Oh, yeah.
I would sell.
That thing is so hot.
I would sell that thing in a heartbeat. Even though I want one desperately for my cube, I'd sell it. Because that's crazy talk. That's crazy talk.
Yes.
If it gets reprinted, who cares?
Yeah, sell it fucking...
All I know is this. If Wizards is smart, let's see if I'm right. If Stoneforge is in Oath, they spoil it before GP Oakland so that people don't get burned.
Stoneforge is not going to be an Oath. That is the fifth dumbest thing you've
ever said. Why not?
Dumbest thing you've ever said.
Oh my god, it can go get Bone Splitter. Come on. Dude.
There will be no Stoneforge. No Stoneforge! What do you want to bet? No Stoneforge!
I'm not betting that, but don't you think it fits? Like from a Vortex.
It's fun to say cool, cute shit all the time with Manny. Like, we're going back to Zendikar. I'm calling it every week from now until when it happens. And then there's just
just going off the rails.
Yeah.
Like,
I hope. Shit. Please, Aaron, just retweet on Saturday morning that it's in Oath so I can shove it down his fucking throat. I would just be so in haste. Oh, you owe me a fucking foil fucking GP promo if it's in. It probably won't be. I don't have your mailing address
because we've got to finish up our bet from earlier.
I know.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, what are you talking about? You sent me tokens, dude. Oh, no, you didn't. I sent you tokens. All right. Anyways, I don't know. Is there anything else going down in Oakland that people should be aware of?
All that jazz aside, all the other shit going down aside. I will not be there Saturday. I'm going to the Leafs game. I will probably be around Friday. I'm actually talking to my local judges about doing some stuff in the area or surrounding. And then Sunday, I might be there in the day/afternoon. I'm actually going to be working at the bar down the street there Sunday night. So anyone who's still in town Sunday night, let me know. Meet me up at the bar down the street, and we'll make it happen.
Hey, you're doing your trivia fucking
that
thing.
Is correct, man. That is, I am, I run the...
Whoa.
If that was a trivia question, I would have got it right.
That is correct.
What bar is this? This sounds interesting.
It's the Overland Country Bar, although it is a whole very interesting thing. I'm like forced to play country music there. It's very interesting.
Oh my god, I love it. Yeah, yeah. I'd fly in just for the trivia round alone.
Need to find a way to do it, TSG. You need to find a way to do this like via Skype so that you can fucking actually like involve yes. Maddie in your shit.
It's funny, but yeah. I do this at a few different locations, and this venue is the tightest of all the buttholes when it comes to the way they do business. Because like we give out some free beers in the course of the night, and then like the top two teams they get prizes. And I felt super bad last week. Like there was a team that came in that hadn't been there for like a month, and the last time they were there, they won. So it's just three people. They come in and they like use their gift certificate. They get some beers and they win some more bonus beers and shit. So they don't really spend any money. So like the guy who's running the shift comes up to me. He's like, yeah, we got to do something about these people, man. We can't just have people coming in here and doing this. I'm like, well, they've been in here before. They won something. Like, don't you want butts in seats in a bar? Like, it's like people are going to spend money if they're there long enough. Like, why are you in the middle of what I'm doing here? You got to come up to me and grind me about some people not spending money on one night. Like the rent down there must be insane. It's right by the water. It's a great venue. The bar is really big. They have a lot of country shit there, although I do not wear my own cowboy hat.
Country shit.
Yeah. Oh, man. They do line dancing lessons on Thursday, and they've got a lot of live country.
Ooh,
band.
Girl.
Yeah. And then they got me to come in there on a Sunday night and nerd it the fuck up after Sunday night football's over. So it's a pretty yeah. different feeling overall.
Such a downer.
It's just different. It's not what I'm used to. Like, I'm glad that they're there. It's super close to my place. It's super easy to do. And I usually show up in a hockey jersey and people just get confused. But it's fine. So yeah, if you're...
It's hockey and trivia only, man.
No,
you should at least see. Here's what I understand. If someone talked to you for like 5 minutes, they should be like, okay, why don't you come in during the game and in between periods you do trivia round.
This is why I love you'd crush. You're so Canadian. People do not watch in Central California.
Yeah, what? It's, they don't.
Like, there's no bar that you could go to in Oakland where you're gonna find a hockey game on.
Come on. So I know everyone's laughing because that's so foreign. That is in Canada.
That's what you that do. Is
that, but that is not like that is impossible.
I know.
You can't.
I know.
You're talking about this is America and this is especially California.
Like, Matt, you have no idea. You have no idea how happy I was when I got to Toronto because two things happened. One, any restaurant, any fucking Tim's I'd walk into.
Swiss Chalet has fucking.
There were either highlights on ESPN's current feed or there'd be a game on. And then the best part is the first night we're there, we're at a restaurant and my wife and I are sitting there and like the early game on the East Coast ends. And it's like, you know, whatever, 10 o'clock or whatever. So, but when I'm back home, that's it. Like once it's 10 p.m., yeah. There's no more hockey. But that's the early game for you guys. So yep. I'm like, yep. In the restaurant, I'm literally like, oh, fuck yeah. I get to watch hockey till at least 1 a.m. Like, people are turning around looking at me like, what is that guy talking about? They're like,
this is fucking amazing.
I don't know the world, the funky world you live in, like, because where I go.
I'm literally watching Devils Canadiens right now. And it's,
I know, I actually need to be right now. I'm kind of pissed off that I'm not.
Hey, we're casting. No watching hockey.
No, huge shout out to TSG because this resurgence has happened. Like, since TSG came to visit my house and left his fucking password. I have been able to start watching.
You guys a Christmas present for hosting us. You
oh, no, that is definitely your Christmas present.
Like, and it still works.
Yeah, oh, it was perfect, man. Like, it's worked out well. Like, my wife bought me fucking Devils fucking Kings tickets. Like, or for the two of us to go down and watch a fucking
game.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, like,
nice.
It was out of the blue, too. It'd be one thing if I was, like, really hinting at it. But, you know, I've started to get back into watching hockey again. It was a huge part of my life when I was younger, and I just haven't watched hockey because, for fuck's sakes, I haven't had, like, actual TV in probably, I don't know, 8 to 10 years.
I'm with you, man.
I've been fucking watching DVDs when I was poor and then turned it into fucking streaming Netflix and Hulu and fucking shit like that. And then, like, you know, not to, disclaimer here, not that this is actually legal, but like, I've got all sorts of neat fucking subscriptions to shit because, like, Jerome and Karen and I and Sarah and I, like, we're family friends. And so they have all our Netflix and Hulu passwords and we have their Dish Network passwords for everything. So, like, we just watch whatever the fuck we want to now, and there's no reason to have fucking cable. Except for the fact that I don't get to watch hockey games. And then, more recently, I get to, because, you know, lo and behold, Tristan came to stay at my house, and we spent fucking Saturday morning, afternoon, just hanging out.
I'd like to thank Hangover Day for that. Yes. That is what allowed us this opportunity.
Exactly. You know, I really think it all started back in Vegas. Getting to watch a hockey game with you was a resurgence for me, to be honest.
That was awesome.
Like, getting to watch a hockey game with you and watch you watch hockey while I was watching hockey was like split screen. It's like,
yeah,
I was like, yes, watching TSG watch hockey and me watching the game myself, this just makes it way better. And so this is pretty sweet. And then now that I can watch this shit all the time, I've gotten into it. And my wife had heard me talk about it plenty. And then she just out of the blue, best present she possibly could have got me, like, hit me totally by surprise. She's all, oh, here, this is in your stocking, and there's tickets to a fucking Kings-Devils game. The only downside to it is, like, those are the two teams that I like the most in the NHL. Of course, I'm a Devils fan until the day I die, even though I've never been in New Jersey. Don't give a shit.
You're better off that way. Don't worry.
But I do still love the Kings. I've been watching the Kings since I was a lad. Since I was younger and was playing hockey. And so they were always a favorite team of mine, you know, especially being as close of a hockey team as you can possibly get to the fucking high desert. And so I've been a Kings fan for a long time. And then the Devils, you know, always been my team. And now I get to go see them play each other. And I feel like, Tristan, you should probably just see if you can fucking get a flight down. It's in March. Yeah.
I don't need a flight. I can drive to you, homie.
That's true. I mean, like, I feel like fucking just hopping on a Southwest flight for like $69 would be cheaper than
so
gas.
I can just make it a day trip. I can come down and make it back the same day.
Yeah, so I'm saying, because, you know, like, now that you've been here, you know the weird out of the way shit that happens. So, like, driving to my house, then going to the game, then coming back and driving back up for you is going to be a nightmare.
But I definitely meet you in Los Angeles County.
Yeah, there's no way he's going to the crest and then driving with you.
Like, isn't it cheaper to fucking fly to Los Angeles out of, like, San Francisco than it is to drive?
No, it's like, I mean, if you get in 30 miles of the gallon, which is not impossible for my wife's car at least, right. It's like a tank down and a tank back, and she still gets to use 87 unleaded. So it's more an issue of your, how much is your time worth, and currently being mostly unemployed, you know, I have no problem. Instead, I will trade 1 hour
time.
I can trade time right now. 1 hour on a plane versus 6 hours in a car is easier to do when you're spending half the price, which is sad to say, but that is where I'm at right now.
I get that. I like that. But either way, I feel like, you know, maybe this is something because
I could stub up the seats next to you. I'll show up in my Brodeur jersey. We'll have a good time.
This will be my first NHL game I've ever been to.
Oh, my God. I have to go. Yeah. See, I hear shit like that. And, dude, I would.
I've played hockey so hard
on this. You're going to get. We're going to call you out on it, because we'll tell me to get the day off. Then all of us will be there. You leaving?
I hate you, Austin.
I'm telling you.
It's so easy for you guys. It's like me traveling halfway across the fucking world to get down
there. I've played hockey for years. I've never been to an NHL game before. Because, like, back when I played.
Your first NHL game.
I was more
dude.
Concerned with, you know, like, going to shows, like going to fucking, you know, rock shows and shit like that, than I was. I was, oh, I love hockey and I love playing hockey, but I also
would much rather just go to a rock show or go see a band play than to go to games. Now, I look back on it and I kind of regret it. I'm like, fuck, man, I've never been to an NHL game before. My fucking beautiful wife decided to give me tickets to go see my favorite fucking team play my second favorite team. And it's at the Staples Center. And fuck it. You guys should go.
I probably want to sit a little bit closer, but, you know, it's cool. I've been down for the experience.
Oh, yeah. Our seats are nosebleed seats, but, you know, fuck it.
Who cares? All right, well.
Center. All the beauty of the Staples Center. All right, bring us to the hole, man.
All right. Speaking of devils and kings, I would like to say that several times I've dropped the devil into the king bowl of the Twitter hole.
I'm not sure if that worked out, but we'll let it ride. We'll let it ride.
You were leading right into it like really well. Speaking of devils and kings, that's like poetry right there. And then I dropped a bowl of kings into the devil's milk, and then
that actually sounds a lot better than what I did. All right, well, gentlemen, you know what? Courtesy of Bruce Lee, who's curated our lovely Twitter hole list, it is time.
Thank you, Bruce. You have put way too much time into the Twitter hole, and we fucking appreciate it more than you could possibly understand.
So much. Now I'm going to jump back and forth between the curated list and whatever the updated Twitter hole comments are, so I hope you can keep up with us, folks. But here we go. This is your Twitter hole hour or two. We shall see. As the Twitter hole starts, the freshest of meats. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm reading a document prepared by the one and only. Mark Hansen at Manadork says, what Hogwarts house are you? Hands down, I am Gryffindor. Easy call. Gentlemen?
Oh, that's so hard. Who are the cool kids on campus? Because that's definitely not.
Slytherin, Ravenclaw.
So, like, one of them's like an owl, right?
Gryffindor? Yeah, Gryffindor is like the lion.
Wait, who's Hufflepuff? I thought they were an owl.
Oh, Hufflepuff, yeah, they're the losers.
They're the What makes you the losers? Definitely... Don't the fat girls go to that one? Like, I don't understand.
You would totally be Hufflepuff, dude. It's all nerds. It's like the nerds.
Gryffindor was the nerds.
No, Gryffindor is like the powerful kids, man.
Gryffindor is much.
Yeah, no. You're right. No, dude. You're Slytherin,
yeah,
dude.
I'm Slytherin. Yeah. I would say Gryffindor is my fucking arch enemy.
Yeah, Slytherin is evil. Ravenclaw is like Jace, vampire goth emos. Gryffindor is like hero kids, and I don't know. Hufflepuff is like
Hufflepuff's the place trash. You go when there's nowhere else. Like Hufflepuff is just like they're like, oh hey, you know what? You don't really belong here, but you know you got wizard blood, so fuck it. We're gonna stick you in Hufflepuff.
Look, were you ever a kid and, you know, you did a couple, you know, you did bad couple tests in a row and they were like, hey, man, we're going to send you for a week with the special kids? That's up a point.
Wow, that's way worse than I was thinking.
I don't know, dude. I think honestly, TSG, you're probably with me and Gryffindor. But
maybe. Like, I can't do the slick-backed hair. I can't do that much black all the time. Like, I would want to be Slytherin because they seem like the smoothest talkers, but I don't think I could pull it off.
Oh, actually, you know what?
I don't think you have to slick your hair back. Like, I mean, that's shit, like, fucking all.
That's important.
Oh, God damn it. What's his fucking, Snape, fucking, I can't think of his fucking actual, the actor that plays fucking Professor Snape is fucking awesome.
Snape?
But he, like, he's fucking, he's Slytherin, and he doesn't slick his hair back. He's just got fucking, well, he's black, like, black emo hair, but still, like, I think you could pull it off. I think you'd be our fucking secret weapon.
Maybe. Like, I ran with the goth kids in high school, but I just couldn't bring myself to dress and look like that all the time.
Oh, my God, dude.
You don't have to.
Okay. Dude, did you? Oh, I couldn't. Okay. If we ever do a Halloween party, please. You have to come as full-on goth TSG. would be, like, with the white makeup and the fucking, like, put little, like, fang incisors. Blah, blah, blah.
Even describing.
With the leather. Dude, with a leather trench coat, but it has, like, the, like, Silent Bob, like, jersey underneath.
Think. Oh, this dude. Is, like, the what people assume Marilyn Manson fans look like. That
yeah, exactly.
Dude, and you got your cube in, like, a leather binder. Oh.
So people from Canada assume goth people look like.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, well...
Real though, I think we're locked in here. At like, okay, so we got fucking. I definitely have to be Slytherin.
You're Slytherin.
around that. You are...
Maddie, I don't know if you're Gryffindor.
Come on. I'm so Gryffindor.
He's definitely the Hermione of our group, so I think it's probably...
What? I'm so not Hermione. I'm probably like a mix of Ron and Harry.
That's not true at all. Ron's a cool character. Like, he's collected.
Ron is not a cool character.
He's well collected.
He's so not. He's a ginger who's out of control and breaks his wand. Harry is just like the guy that stumbles into greatness. But like, Gryffindor represents the underdogs that achieve more. At least that's what I get. Anyways, let's move on because Harry Potter world, I've had enough of.
Never read any of the books. I think I've seen
I still really want to know where TSG lands in this.
I think undercover brother. That's what it sounded like.
Oh my god, undercover brother! I just watched that was last week.
Like, I thought that this motherfucker was on my team, and he's just like I'm not gonna wear the fucking.
He's reluctant. He's a reluctant Slytherin. That's what I would say.
The hat's going to put him there anyway. Like, whether he's actually that's going to put him there anyway, because fucking, like, he's just gonna be like, oh, you're that fucking Channel Fireball fucking guy. Fucking, yeah, you're going in the fucking bad house. And then you get to come hang out with us. You're the fucking good guy all along.
See? There you go. All right, Jonathan Sasso, JW Sasso at Twitter asks, what is the best possible GP main event that Wizard of Coast could add? For example, Team Sealed Cube. I don't see how that'll ever happen, but I agree with you. I think that's great. I think the best GP main event. I don't know. I think modern is. I don't know. I'm crazy. I think constructed modern is for me. Team Sealed is interesting. Played it twice. I think it's cool.
I love Team Sealed. You get to. I mean, you already want to hang out with your friends at a tournament. You already want to know like how their games went and you know what they were matched up against. And now you get to be interactive with that, which is just great.
It also kind of brings in like fucking, you know, like the bigger fucking pros and stuff playing on teams. That does tend to bring in like a little more, I guess, interest from viewers.
Sure. Like, but I mean, here's a question.
It's a fun format, but you get to see people like, you know, your pros and shit like that. For the people that aren't there at the GP that are watching it and shit like that, get to see their pros team up. It's a little bit different. You know, it could be fun. I'm still going to go with like fucking strip battle packs. Like but
you know, interesting. I believe, like, if logistics was no problem, if you did 16-man pod cubes, I think that would be absurd. So, like, you would basically have a winner, or would you have a top two finalist? I don't know. You'd have one or two people out of each pod that would get regrouped every so many rounds into another pod. I think that would be absurd. I don't know how logistically you'd do that. Man, that sounds like hands down the funnest format of all time in history. I don't know about you, TSG, but that just sounds insane.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I mean, I think just Cube Rochester Draft for the GP would be fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like maybe...
Anything that you couldn't really fit into a day. Anything that's just like completely unfeasible by the number of hours one has for these events. That's exactly what I want to be doing.
See, he knows. I think most people are just like, fuck it, let's go draft the proxy cube. But okay, so we're moving down the line. We got Axel F, Axel underscore the great underscore great or the underscore grateful. He asks us, oh boy, here we go, gentlemen. Three questions deep and we're getting all jizzy. If you can put flavor enhancers, as me and Kevin know, on
literally am squeezing one into my drink right now.
See, I already
wish you finished that sentence first.
Oh my god. Okay. If you could put flavor, okay, you have to listen. If you could put flavor enhancers on jizz and beaver juice, what flavor would you like in yours? What would you like to be tasting?
Considering where I live and what people like, my stuff's gotta taste like pumpkin spice.
I mean, at the time of year, yes, I'm
mine's
sure you.
It's gonna taste like vodka, and if I gotta pick one to taste, it's gonna be like black licorice.
Have you ever met a white girl that wouldn't go for a pumpkin spice latte in May? I don't think so.
Oh, you get to pick. I thought it was just what yours is gonna taste like.
No, it says if you could have flavor enhancers. So what he's asking is if you could flavor enhance your jizz or you could flavor enhance her beaver juice.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, for me, I would definitely – no, mine would – I just coffee flavor, and I know that's
what
so
– What the hell?
Right. Yeah, coffee flavor jizz, I totally, like, gonna, like, insta-sell.
Like, that's gonna make Maddie's marriage work better and everything. Like, he's just gonna fucking wake up but in the morning, like he's gonna placebo. Fuck animal.
It's like a placebo effect, though.
What? No, it's not. It's like a caffeine shot in your mouth. It's, like, amazing.
But it's a taste of coffee. There's no caffeine involved. That's where it is.
Yeah, it's zero calories. Yeah, I don't know. I think you get caffeine out of it. Look, I think coffee's the way to go for me, and I think what I'd want to taste, I like sour stuff. I don't know why. So maybe like gummy worms.
Leave it the same.
That. Like, yeah, pretty much it's already good. It's already good. I'm not sure. I wouldn't go with all like those spicy flavors like pumpkin and shit. I think that would be fucking weird, dude. I'll go for like some sour.
Similar to what I was saying, like if you're down there and it's like a flavor you're into eating or something, it's kind of like worshiping false prophets in many ways, because you're kind of like
steak.
Hungry, and you're gonna get completely off what's important. Like I don't think that.
I don't know. I think if you were down there and I suddly got a little Tex-Mex, I'd be like,
I feel like he's going towards. He's all like. Tristan's like going towards, let's just make it taste like sawdust so that I can go get some other stuff.
No. I agree that, you know, I'm down with whatever it tastes like, but
I'm going for tasting steak, and I'm going for mine tastes like Maddie. Tristan, I really like your whole pumpkin spice theory there. like you're only going to get blown a couple times a year, like right at the right time.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe a couple more like 6 months away from there where they're just all, oh shit, it's like fucking February and I really miss fucking pumpkin spice lattes. But other than that, I don't know, maybe cake or whipped cream.
Yeah, well, you could add that. See, if I'm already shooting coffee, I could just throw some whipped cream on it. And it's like, boom, Starbucks. Like, it's a treat for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden, it's not for me. It's now a treat for you. Like, I'm just saying.
It is a treat.
Apparently, coffee is a treat for your wife or whatever.
No, it's just like, no, don't even. I'm just saying coffee is like all women love coffee.
I'm probably gonna go with cocaine. She'll get that bitter weird taste across her gums, and she'll just be like, oh, you want to do some blow? I'm like, that's a great idea. And then us going to go get some blow somewhere.
That escalated quickly.
I mean, you know what? It's pretty good. All right, moving down the list, because
cocaine flavored semen is the wave of the future, brothers. You don't even fucking understand.
I'm sure someone at CES right now is writing that down. Matt Hansen at Manadork asks us, you're going to do a chaos draft that's a bring your own pack. What three packs do you bring?
Such a magical question. Was not expecting
this. I know. We've done two chaos drafts now that we attempted to finish. I don't think we've actually finished any of them. For me, I'm definitely bringing a pack of Return to Ravnica. I'm going to bring a pack of Original Zendikar, and I'm bringing a pack of MTG Origins, because I feel those three sets are fucking awesome. And
they don't have to be different.
I love them. I don't know. They don't have to. You can bring three packs.
It's Chaos Draft. Isn't there kind of an unwritten rule, or maybe there is a rule, like that you can't bring, like you can't have more than one pack that's the same? Like, is it really that?
You can't. Yeah, that's right. Can't have two of the same. That's why everyone's got to bring different. Although maybe everybody brings the same. I don't know. I think you're just supposed to bring whatever the fuck you got. It's leftover draft trash.
Like, you tell everybody, like, oh, hey, it's an Innistrad draft. There's no fucking stipulations. And then you basically just have an Innistrad draft. Like, fucking.
Wow. I mean, you could. You could. I mean, if you did one right now, I guarantee someone's bringing some BFZ, right? Because it's what they got left over.
Yeah.
But this is like if I was going to do a chaos draft.
Fuck it. Like, I mean, why would it be like there's the cheap answer. It's like, oh, why wouldn't I bring a pack of alpha fucking, you know, pack of fucking but I don't know. Like,
I mean, if you want a money draft, you could money draft and be like, I'll bring a pack of alpha beta unlimited. It's sweet. Done.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them all away. I mean, what are you bringing?
I honestly feel like I would probably bring a Return to Ravnica is a good one. I would probably go the same route. Definitely, I'd bring an Innistrad pack, and I don't know. Fucking Scars of Mirrodin or fucking New Phyrexia. Probably New Phyrexia.
Yeah, or you'd want to bring something that like plays with Graveyard. That's what I was trying to do. I'm like, what plays really well with the Graveyard? Because, well, you know, if you're bringing Innistrad.
Like, see, this is the thing. Like, not that I've been involved in a fucking ton of them, but, like, the thing I get out of fucking Chaos Drafts is it's really hard to... I mean, yeah, you could bring three packs of different sets that may have some cohesive shit to them, but you got to realize everybody else at the table may or may not have the same idea. Maybe they're bringing their favorite packs. Maybe they're bringing whatever. So, like, it's the chances of you, like, putting a fucking strategy together is shit. Like,
it's low. 100%.
If you want to do well, to be honest with you, if you want to do well at a chaos draft, bring a fucking pack of M11, M12, and M13.
That is actually solid strategy. That is a solid strategy.
That's actually really good, dude. Very good.
You don't want stuff that's too parasitic.
Exactly. What about you? What about you, TSG? Because here's the guy that's going to bring the game. I know he's got
it. In order to win the game, you're probably going to want Shadowmoor, Lorwyn. I don't know. Lorwyn might be too parasitic. I mean, there's a lot of good standalone cards in Lorwyn. So Lorwyn's not a bad choice. And then,
None of the M sets, I feel like they had so much power.
I mean, they're really even keel. Like, they're not, like, I'd probably bring Time Spiral because the power level is so high.
No, because, like, everybody says that because Time Spiral is so fucked up, most people don't read the cards and they pass them, and you're like, oh my god. So
there you go.
Somebody's passing.
Well, maybe I'll swap Lorem with something else. Shadowmoor Time Spiral for sure. And then... I mean, like, any of the Ravnicas are good, and it's just, they're kind of like, I mean, the fixing is good. I mean, you do want good mana fixing, a lot of those things.
I mean, you know what, like, if you're going Lorwyn, you could also do Khons. I mean...
Well, yeah, Khons is a really good one, yeah.
Had some really good shit in there. It's so interesting, like, I love it. I mean, here's the question a lot of people ask, like, would you bring a Modern Masters? Would you bring Modern Masters 2? I think Modern Masters 2 sucks ass, personally, for draft. I would never bring that. Modern Masters 1, I also do not think the average pack is that good. So I wouldn't. A chaos drafting those is throwing your money
down.
It
still really comes down to, and again, just like you said, throwing your money down the drain, like, it comes down to, like, when we're fielding this question, it comes down to, like, hey, are you talking about what packs would you bring so that you can open them and then fucking take the money out of them? Yeah, that's way different.
The lottery packs? Sure.
Yeah, but honestly, like, if you're trying to make a good, fun fucking draft, like, I think the M sets are big up there. I still think fucking Innistrad's up there. But, like, it still has a lot of, like TSG said, there's a lot of, like, parasitic cards, I guess. Like
you don't want to bring any of the Kamigawas. You don't want to bring any of the Scars of Mirrodins. Oh, who am I kidding? You want, like, Darksteel. The motherfucker's got, like, Volshock Morningstar at common. Like, a bunch of equipment that's, like, not color dependent that's going to be super helpful.
Bone Splitter.
That's actually Reginald Mirrodin, but you get, like, the idea, yeah.
This is more what I'm concerned about is, like, it's what's going to make a fucking awesome draft. As long as everybody else at the table has the same mentality and doesn't have the money draft fucking mentality, not the podcast.
I mean, I'll be honest. Our first Chaos Draft in Vegas 1 was really cool. I mean, I had a really interesting deck. It's too bad that we got blowing up in round two, but we got a little sidetracked.
I was actually kind of like in the worst way excited that we got sidetracked because I started drafting this fucking terrible green black dredge deck that was not gonna fucking work, and I was all, oh wow, I think I've got, I still got a Golgari Grave Troll that I got from that.
Oh my god, did you get Ginger Italia to sign that shit for you, man?
I should.
You should have. All right, well, let's move on because I think we answered that question and we've got a shit ton more.
Yes.
Zach Allen asks us, this is a two-parter, so be patient and listen. Would you willingly be raped by prison inmates to make your own invitational card a la Snapcaster or Bob? If yes, explain the card. And no, we're talking at least three large muscular male inmates. You gotta earn
that. Yeah, we're all going for no, right? Like,
easily.
Like a no, across the board. Like, you could have changed the power and toughness and the casting cost of that question, and it would have been a playable card. But instead, you went like fucking straight off the board. Like, if you had to have a dude come up to you in prison, first you have to go to prison. Like, that's a high casting cost anyway. Like, first you have to do. I'm saying, like, if you have a dude come up to you in prison and ask, like, if you want to be girlfriends, like,
no,
and in exchange, it was like you can say no and then leave free and clear. And then exchange, when you get out of prison, you get to have your own invitational card, which is like phenomenally better than it. And you could capitalize on that monetarily. Like, maybe you'd have a card. But at this point, this question is like, yeah, this is across the board. No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the worst part. I mean, he put three. If you had played the odds and said, like, one, like, okay, maybe I could make. Maybe you make the new Black Lotus, right? That breaks magic.
That's great for magic. Yeah, everyone would love you if you did that.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, but your butthole is not going to love you. Your butthole is a fucking loose Lotus.
But then, you'd make loose Lotus, right? Like, I'm just saying, yeah. Guy. Zach, next time you gotta weigh the options a little better because this is pretty obvious that we're just like not interested in invitation.
Yeah. Question design is just as important as card design. Like,
I mean, you know what? Yeah. I'm sure this was a round in Great Designer Search 3, but they had to kill the contest because they couldn't get the lawyers to sign up. All right. NPB at Lots of MTG asks us, what Oath of the Gatewatch spoiler would you like to put your dick in? Wow. Okay. Chandra, I know I would. Wow. Like, okay. So apparently, guys, we're sticking our dick in a spoiler. I guess I would go into Warping Whale because – I mean, it's going to scream at me. I don't know.
We know what Maddie likes.
I'm scrolling through the spoilers right now just to look at what jumps out at me. On the other end of the spectrum, Bonesaw jumped out, and I was like, that's definitely not where I'm going. But
I mean, I know Gumby right now would just be like saying gift of tusks, right? I mean, here you go, right? Like, I could see that one working out quite well.
I'm just scrolling through, looking at art.
I mean, everything's so pointy in Zendikar.
That's true. Kozilek has kind of ruined a lot of the soft features.
Yeah. Like, as I'm doing this, anybody brought up that fucking Jory N. Ruin Diver? It looks like she's just farting on the sparkles. Like, or farting sparkles. That's terrible. Like, what? That art is god-awful.
No, the art's awesome. What are you talking about?
She's shitting sparkle room.
I feel like Linvala is an easy answer here.
Is that what you're
okay, maybe it does look a little like she's shitting sparkles, but
she is shitting sparkles. It's fucking terrible.
Everything is very.
I mean,
spiky.
You could like get involved in the gangbang that is Jiraga Auxiliary.
Okay, you know, like as I'm going through this, I think I'm going strip mine. I'm putting my dick down.
There's a lot of holes there.
Yeah.
I mean, logically, you have to consider Crush of Tentacles just because it has the most outcome. That's got the most outcome for you. I mean, Chandra, sure, but the problem is I've already had VD once and I'm not doing that again. I'm not burning my shit. And Nissa, no way. I've tried to stick it in Oak before. It's too hard. It is a hard one. It's not a soft one.
It depends on if you want to be a hero or not, but I'm thinking like Hedron alignment. Like if you stick your pecker right in between those, they can't align and they can't win. Your opponent can't win.
Like, I mean, maybe.
It's like a picture of them like aligning perfectly, and that's the way the whole card works. It's like that shit's all got to align perfectly, and then they win the game. If you stick your cock in the middle of that, then they're not going to win because it's not going to line up. Trust me, it's science.
I mean, Lynn Vala at least brings another angel with
her. I also kind of want to go with Oath of Jace because I will just put my dick in his hand and be like, oh, there you go. You think you're a little badass? Go home and cry about this. And I'll put my dick right through the hole in fucking Jace's hand.
Ponder that.
Yeah. Hey, ponder that, asshole.
He's just like, for the sake of the multiverse, I will keep watching. As a tear comes down his fucking cheek.
Yeah, he's probably doing some terrible shit to my brain through my dick, but you know what? It's gonna be funny. Make it on the mothership, I guarantee it. It'll be like a news flash. Fucking Jace quits magic.
Oh my god. Thank you, lots of MTG. Very, very insightful question. Jesus Christ. Matt Hanslin again. He asks us, "What would your Viking warrior name be?" Let's hit this 1, 2, 3. Mine would be Rag
for that, right? Like, I don't know how.
No. Is there? Oh wow. Oh shit. Every time we go to Google, shit goes bad.
How long of a name? Because, like, how long is a Viking warrior name? I don't know.
Let's see if there's a Google site. Make my name a Viking name. Oh, here you go. Look, a Viking name generator. Oh, wow. Look, there you go. Okay, let's see. Male. Let's do Kevy. Type your name here. Kevy Metal. All right, name me. Let's see. What is Kevy Metal? Oh, Kevy Metal would be called Arkin. What? Arkil? Ask. Your name is Arnkill, Askill. Yeah, that's
Arnkill, Armkill, Askill. Like, first I'm going for the arm, then I'm going for the ass.
All right, that actually
so
pretty
far
accurate.
It adds up. Yeah, so far.
All right, let's see. Oh wow, my name would be.
Then I'm going for your butt.
My name would be Odd Gillis Ogdi. Yeah, I don't. That's not working for me at all.
You don't get to pick the Viking name, Matty. Your Viking name.
Oh, come on, man. Mine should be Ragnarok. That's my name. Let's see. All right, let's see what TSG would be called. And here we go. His name would be, oh, wow, he got a great one. Thorinstein Greylock? Dude.
Done. Block it up.
I think he won that. Yeah. There you go. All right, BoozCube asked us, if you had to play at least 8 rounds of Modern GP while tripping on a lot of peyote, what deck would you bring? Jesus Christ, man. If I'm tripping on peyote, I need a deck that I need to be able to pilot. That would be Green Machine.
I missed something. We were talking about Viking game, and now we're tripping on peyote.
Dude, this is how it goes. The Twitter hole has no fury. It's only fury. It has no patience. So if you're going to a Modern GP, what deck are you bringing if you're tripping on peyote? I'm either Green Machine or Burn, but I think Green Machine's easier than
Green
Burn.
Machine, yeah.
Yeah. Because you're just like, I cast a dude, and can it attack? Yes, great. I'm attacking. If I can't, all right.
I don't need to add to 20 with my burn spells. That's way too complicated at that point.
Yeah. I don't need to calculate.
Tripping on peyote is pretty much how I play Magic anyway. Like, I just throw spells and, like, I hope that they make 20
at something. Peyote is vodka.
Yeah.
No, peyote is not vodka, dude.
It's the same thing. I would just play the same goddamn burn deck that I always play because I'm going to do it the same way. I'm just going to throw spells at you and hope. I'm not going to do the math. I'm just going to hope that you're going to die
before. That's true.
If I had to get into some other shit, I feel like I'd probably start really getting into the artwork and probably try to climb into the card. And that's going to get awkward. That's going to get weird. Or GP, even better. Like, as I'm trying to climb into the table and fucking hang out. I think I could hold my shit together with my burn deck. I hope. I'm going to try to climb into the table.
I am 100% not playing Bloom Titan because... That deck's way too complicated. Paul Whitbaum. Here's a new guy, guys. I don't know if you know. Paul Whitbaum, Small Paul 1980. Sick name. If you could erase one memory from your life, which memory would you erase? Very simply, my friend, I would erase GP Portland, the time I walked into Kevin Metal, Slip Jagger, and other people slamming their dicks on the table. That's the memory I would erase. Next person, no, fire
you
away.
You would keep that forever.
maybe I would.
So, like, before you turned the corner into that kitchen, what did you think you were hearing?
Honestly, no word of a lie, I used to watch a lot of home improvement shows as a kid. I honestly thought, I swear to God, that someone was repairing the floor of the kitchen. I thought Norm Abrams was there, New Yankee Workshop style, just like hammering shit away. That's what I thought, dude. I could not be prepared for those visuals. So, yeah, yes, is that the worst thing? Maybe not, but it scarred me to this day, so I would have to erase this. TSG, what are you erasing?
What kind of memory does it have to be now? Any memory?
Any memory.
Any memory. I can erase any memory.
Any memory.
See, like, I've probably already done a good job at that, because when you ask me to go back and think about stuff like that, I think of all the good or funny shit. I don't think about, like, seeing someone's, you know, like a fishing line in someone's dick or something.
Whoa, a fishing line. I don't remember being at that party. What the fuck?
It was not a party. It was not a party.
Okay.
It was not a party. No. Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know. I can't. See, this is the whole thing, is I think of, like, self-lobotomies have already done a good job having to think about
it. You've thought seized yourself many times. Yeah. I got you. Kevin Metal, I know you have something that you wish you needed to just not be in your brain, but maybe not. Well, maybe
most of it has made me who I am today.
See? Strong answers. Strong answers.
I like that.
I don't really remember it anymore, but I remembered it earlier. Like, this is weird, like, memory inception kind of thing. Like, I know that I walked in on my mom.
Oh, like, no.
When I was a kid. No. I have no memory of it anymore. Like, thankfully, my brain has done away with it. But, like, I know that I've had that memory in my head before, and I swear to you, I couldn't even fucking try to have that memory again, thank God. But I know that there was a point in my life that I can remember that, and that has since gone away. But still, just to protect my younger self, I think that's the memory I got to get rid of. Then again, who knows? If I didn't remember that at a younger phase, maybe I wouldn't have turned into the person that I am now, and that would have fucked everything up. And, like, right now, I might be a fucking accountant. Maybe I would be good at math. Who knows? I don't know.
So I'm going to say, like, I'm not going to get rid of any of my memories, because it would change who I am now. And I'm not into that, because I'm a narcissist.
You're so Slytherin, it's not even funny. All right, let's jump down here to Sunny D at Zabcar. He says, if you could read his
purple stuff. Oh, look, Sunny D.
Yeah, I know. It's a great name. He's like, if you could redesign one thing on the human body, what would it be? Wow. Hmm. Okay, so
that's a big deal right there.
I mean, are we talking my body or human bodies in general? I
think internally, externally, like, you got to, there's a lot you could pick from here.
I know, right? Like, I think if the one, like, are we looking at flaws? Or are we looking at, like, a part of the human anatomy that we want improved?
Redesigning something on the human body.
I would think the number one thing that needs to be redesigned is the a-hole. It is too dirty.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about, like, how much of our society is built around how that functions, if there was a way, let's say, to carry a roll of Ziploc bags on your hip, and, you know, it just automatically deposits into one of them, and you're just like, zip, boom, chuck it in a fucking receptor, and you're good to go.
You mean like a catheter? Like, they've redesigned that already.
Well, maybe like a flesh, like, Ziploc bag dispenser. I don't know. No? Maybe that's probably gross. Actually, that's probably not going to work out like I think it will.
My first reaction was I was going to go with, like, fucking, like, the appendix and put lasers on it. Like, because it doesn't do anything.
How does that work? It takes itself out?
You might as well just put lasers on it, like, so you can shoot stuff. Fuck it. Like, it doesn't, it already doesn't do anything anyway. Give it a job. I'm going to go with the appendix. Maybe it's not lasers. Maybe it's a backup liver.
Mm. Oh, see, you're talking about
a personal wish list. It sounds like this. Two stomachs, definitely a camelback at some point when I can't hydrate enough before I go out drinking.
I want my appendix to hold water until it needs to hold extra bile.
An appendix with lasers mounted on it is not self-serving. That could destroy me as quick as it could destroy you. Because, you know, last time I checked, I can't control what my appendix does. So it's going to do what it wants to with the lasers that are mounted on it. And it may just take me out at birth. It may take me out when I'm 30. It may take you out. You never know. Like, brainless lasers.
I actually...
Just muscle controlled. Like, they just fucking, like, they just kind of go in different directions.
Like predator lasers, just... I get you. I feel you. I still think the better way to go would be to convert the second liver appendix into a water distribution? Oh my god, I can't speak. Distributor?
Oh,
that's a new word. If Gumby was here. Oh.
Yeah, like a camel. Like, basically, you can store water before you start drinking.
Exactly. Oh, wait, Kevy, I got it. Oh, my God. Here you go. Here you go. Holy shit. Your dick is the water holder. So you could drink water to make your dick bigger. How amazing is that? Then you're a superstar. But then, when you drink too much, then you can use that.
You're going to end up uncontrollably peeing all over the girl when you're drunk trying to bang her.
No. It's a sack, dude. It's a sack. It's just like the ones.
I'm also thinking, like, nobody's brought out, like, claws yet. Like, why can't
I don't think claws are going to work out, dude. They sound great for you. They don't sound great on everybody else.
Retractable claws? For fuck's sakes, why would they not work out well?
Oh, yeah, hey, I'm just going through casual, like, rares. Oops, my claws popped, and I chopped the fucking... foil Keranos worth $700 and a half. No.
Well, if your claws pop, you need to learn to focus them better. Like, they need to be retractable claws.
No. And then, by the way, some girl's like, oh, yeah, how about I just, like, tug you out right here? Boom, bam, boom, claws. Ouch, bitch! That's my camel sack. Like, no, that's not working.
You brought a good point. You know what? Never mind. I take that back. That's all there is to it.
I don't know. TC probably has the correct answer somewhere in between claws.
TC always has the correct answer, but, like, a lot of times she's like, you know, I'm going to let you idiots
correct,
go.
Correct
Have fun.
Is subjective. Correct is subjective. Yeah. I do think that the additional water storage system has a certain appeal to it. At the same time... I don't know. I think if we could, like, rework the knees somehow, some kind of joint issues. I feel like
he's worried. I love how Kevy's worried about the alcohol distribution. TSG is worried about, hey man, my joints are fucking not working. How do we fix these things? How do we have double joints and shit? All right, let me hear how you want to fix the joints.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure it out, just like you guys.
Double joints?
Maybe we backwards joint the knee like a fucking velociraptor.
Oh, no, no. I've seen too many weird Japanese horror movies that does not.
Got jumping power there. Like maybe your elbows just become straight up ball joints instead of, like, locking when you bring your arms all the way out. Like, maybe you can just fucking, picture this. If you just fucking, like, spread your arms out and go, like, fucking angel wing style and they stop right there. But if you did that, then they just hit you in the back. Like, they just come all the way around. I feel like if we could reach our fucking elbows all the way around, we could do some incredibly dangerous shit.
That's actually very interesting. Interesting. I almost wonder if we should just, like, go with the obvious answer, which would be, could we just add wings maybe to human beings?
That'd be kind of sweet, too.
Yeah, you know, like
I feel like there's a downside to that. Like they'd have to be incredibly
what is the downside?
To get our weight off the ground, like, and actually be able to fly instead of just being sure. like a fucking shitbag flightless birds like a fucking ostrich, like that just has so wings for nothing.
30 foot wingspans, the muscular capacity well, yeah, to like
I'm saying like okay. yeah, exactly. You're talking, you got some massive wingspan to get us off the ground and actually do anything important. And then you're talking a huge inconvenience in day-to-day true. Life. Like, I
that's
mean, like,
true.
Like, your fucking, your tailor, like, your suit tailor is going to be fucking
oh, you're fucked.
Massively expensive. Like, you
no,
have to,
no more, like, wearing hoodies. Can't wear hoodies. In.
Like, then they're going to come up with shit like tearaway wing jackets, like, where you could fucking, like, tearaway fucking track pants like Maddie wears, but, like, for your back. Yep. Like,
hey, mine
like,
aren't tear. Hey, look, mine aren't tearaway, dude. Mine aren't tearaway.
Yeah, they're not even go there. Which, you need to switch over to tearaway, like for real.
I used to run tearaways. My first girlfriend. No, I gotta tell you.
Like what happens? Fight or flight syndrome kicks in. Like you're wearing a nice suit out to fucking dinner. You know somebody tries to rob you and your fucking wife, and like. You instantly go into fucking fight mode, but instead of your fist balling up or you drawing a gun or whatever, like your wings fucking pop out and rip your nice suit. Like that. Altogether, I think this is a bad idea. Wings on human beings is just not going to work. It's going to be way too big and bulky for us to actually get any.
True. Out of. All right. Then obviously we should just be like.
We should go with the camelback fucking spleen or the camelback.
I actually really think that. Some type of water enhancement camelback penile appendage is going to work well. And actually, like, for women, it could just be their.
First case scenario, a bunch of people are going to survive, and Bear Grylls doesn't have a TV show anymore. Like,
boom. There you go. All right. Scott Smith, BME boy, asks us how many dicks can fit in the hole? currently three, sometimes four. We've had up to seven.
We've had some dicks in the hole before.
We've had a few dicks in here, so
I met a butt plug, like fucking working shit in. It's like exercises, you know.
I'm pretty sure you could fit probably eight, maybe nine. It depends on who's here.
You could fit a whole draft pod into this hole.
I mean, it starts to get pretty busy and pretty loud once you get past four.
Oh yeah.
No. It depends on the person.
It depends on
it, like
yeah.
We could fit JR. We could fit a lot of the more mellower people. I think all like a mellow hole, you could fit eight.
So yeah. you're
a loud,
like,
a loud hole,
go with like
three.
20 KYTs.
Yeah, like
oh, we can yeah, infinite, infinite,
and like fucking two or three of like me and Slick Jagger at the most.
Yeah, well, yeah. See, I actually personally don't believe you could fit a Kevy and a Slick Jagger in the same hole. I don't believe you can do that.
We've done it before. We've done the impossible. We've stuck those in the same hole before, and it's crazy.
I'm pretty sure it's too old. I'm pretty sure it's too old. Right, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, okay. Yeah, but still. Let's
move on.
All right. Bob, not so silent. Bob 1 asks us, you're walking down the hole, down the road, hoping for a ride. Someone pulls over, gas, grass, or ass for the ride. Which do you provide? 100% grass. Boom. Oh, gas. Yes. Sorry. gas.
So, hey, everyone asked me you. We've got our Canadian weed hookup.
I know, right?
I tell you, I was channeling Marcel there. No, gas. I'm down. I'll pay for the gas. I'm not nope. interested in it.
We're all going gas. I mean, there's that weird instant.
No,
where, there's that weird instance where, like, fucking, you know, Heather Locklear pulls up in a Ferrari and it's just all...
Sure.
What year is
grass.
It?
Right.
I don't know. Whatever year he's in, I'm down. That sounds amazing.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it could be 20 years down the road and dead-ass Heather Locklear could show up in a Ferrari and I'd still be like, oh, yes.
I would still be like, yes, zombie Heather Locklear in, like, a Tesla Road Z Mark, whatever.
I'm going to do it. Because nobody in my generation really, like, my generation barely knows who Heather Locklear is. Anybody below me is not going to, but I'm going to tell somebody that I got to bang Heather Locklear in a Ferrari. And then I got a free Ferrari out of it because, well, you know, apparently she was dead as fuck.
All right. Wow, there you go. Marcel, speaking of Marcel, Marcelovision, he asks us, what did you drink when you were 21 that is completely repulsive to you today? And when's the last time you had a drink? Well, I'm drinking right now, my friend, courtesy of Kevin Metal. Courtesy of Kevin Metal, vodka, water, and beautiful flavor enhancers. Amazing.
That's what I'm doing right now, too.
Incredible, incredible. The drink, though, that when I was 21, I didn't drink. That's funny. But the earliest I did drink was when, you probably remember the episode, Cinnamon Hearts. That was one of the first things I'd tried. And it is, to this day, I mean, oh, God, I just can't. I can't drink cinnamon. I can't even eat Cinnamon Hearts. That's how bad. You can go back and reference whatever fucking episode that was. I don't know. Bruce didn't do his job. He didn't put show notes in here. But I'm sure he will tweet it to me and know exactly what episode I'm speaking of. But that, I can't. It's just so repulsive to me. I don't. Anything cinnamon, I just can't. Maybe French toast. I could do a little bit of cinnamon and French toast. But, like, liquor? No. Can't do cinnamon-flavored liquors. Out. Kevy, what about you?
Oh, it's got to be tequila. And that was a bit before 21. It was like 17.
Just a tad. Just maybe 10 years.
No, like I was like 17, maybe getting close to 18, and did some fucking terrible shit with tequila. And like to this day, I still can't fucking, like, I could drink margaritas. I still this day, like a strong whiff of tequila will make me fucking vomit, and like I can't take a shot. I've tried once and it didn't fucking work. I can't do it. It's like literally me and a buddy of mine, I don't know if I've ever told that story or not. I might have told it a couple times, who knows, on this cast. But like me and a buddy of mine, back when I think I was 17. I had to have been 17. Found out what tequila poppers were, and if you don't know, they're fucking amazing if you can drink tequila. They're like, basically you just take a fucking double shot glass and you fill it half full of tequila and half full of squirt, and then you slam it on the table and it fucking fizzes up like crazy and you slam it down. And we thought this was the greatest thing in the world, so we were doing this for, I don't know, 3-4 days straight. Well, I mean, not straight, like we slept, don't get me wrong, I wasn't like that bad back then. It, like, we were just drinking a lot, and you know, we were just partying, we had nothing else to do, and so we did this for a little while. But what we didn't realize, being that young, is that when we started to run out of money and we wanted to keep the party going, that like Albertson's tequila is not the same as, I don't know, any other tequila out there. Like, grocery store brand tequila is not what you want to do with tequila at all, ever in your life. So we, you know, we're drinking, we're having a good time, and we're like, oh man, we're kind of running out. Let's get some Albertson's tequila and a 12-pack of squirt. So we get to this party, and we kind of set up shop with our little tequila poppers on the washer and dryer in the kitchen of this fucking apartment that we're at. And we have a couple, and then I start going out fucking mingling with people, having a good time, and, you know, just, you know, saying hi, whatnot. I come back into the kitchen, and Sean, my roommate at the time, he's just all, hey, man, I'm like two up on you. I was like, well, fuck, I'm not going to be a pussy. I should probably take those two to catch up with you, and then let's have one together. And then I go mingle around for a little while and talk to people. And then I come back and he's just posted up in the kitchen. And he'd be like, oh, hey, man, I'm couple up on you again. Let's go. So I would take those and then I would drink with him again. And then, I don't know, 16, 17 of those later into the night, I was throwing up all over this apartment, all over the washing machine, all over the front yard. Like, I don't throw up from alcohol often, but this was like uncontrollable vomit everywhere, all over, like just people and things. And I had no control over my body, and I just didn't even know what the fuck was going on. And to this day, I still, you pass the like a shot of tequila under my nose, and I will and stuff it down. Like I said, I could drink margaritas and shit like that. I could take it in moderation. But you're also talking like, what, I'm fucking 35 now. I was 17 then, and I still can't take a shot of tequila. So fucking thank you, Sean, and thank you, Albertson's Tequila, for ruining my life.
What about you, TSG? What are you
I had plenty of time to think about this one, and it's funny because as soon as Kevy starts talking about tequila, I remember how much I also don't like tequila. While I can stomach it, it's not a big fan. But I'm trying to think of, like, at 21. So it's, like, leading up to 21, it was, like, you started drinking fucking, like, Keystone and Coors and whatever somebody's high school dad would throw at you and laugh at you for actually drinking. And then from there, we moved on to 40s because someone you knew was 21 and could buy them for you. And then when we started making our own shit before we could really get into a bar, my friends and I were always drinking a lot of White Russians because it was still, like, hip at the time to be super into the Big Lebowski for no reason. So a lot of puking up, a lot of dairy back in those days before hitting 21. I remember, like, hitting 21 and, like, finally going to the bar and, like, you have to try to figure shit out, but it's like no one, like, people your own age don't fucking know anything, and people who are older than you are, like, already, they're either over the bar scene or they already know what they like. They're not, like, experimenting on dumb shit all the time. So you go through but I never went through a phase where I ordered a lot of something and now I wouldn't touch it. Like, I remember trying, like, dry martinis for the first time at a proper bar and thinking that shit was fucking awful. I don't, like, who was into that. Like, crushed olives, right, be damned. That's not going to help that not taste like butt.
olives don't even taste good. Why would that make it taste better?
I don't know. Yeah, like, adding a green olive to something does not improve its taste, like, ever. We went through a margarita phase, but margaritas in California are better in general as long as you're not drinking Albertson's tequila. Shooting tequila is still awful. I've never enjoyed shooting tequila. But now, I mean, I guess White Russians, I haven't had one in...
Oh,
probably like
White Russians, dude.
I love White Russians.
Oh no, dude! At the wrong time, White Russians. Oh,
I definitely get how they could go terribly wrong for somebody, but my White Russian thing, especially because I do love my fucking, I do love my vodka. I love my war milk, which is like a close cousin to White Russians, because it has milk and booze in it. But no, I like White Russians are my jam when I want to go to sleep. Like that's the problem really? I have with fucking White Russians. Like, I swear to God, the milk puts me to sleep. My wife laughs about this because I have, you know, a little bottle of Kahlua that I'll fucking, I'm like, oh, I've been drinking, I've been having a good time, and I'm kind of hyped up and fucking having a good time, but I probably should go to bed. I'll have a White Russian or two, and I'm fucking night-night because the milk puts me to sleep, and I'm like, hey, I get to feel like I'm still drinking, except for I'm going to sleep right now. Like, White Russians are my jam, but I definitely can see how those can go terribly wrong real quick because whenever you add, like, lactose to booze, it's a fine line.
It's dangerous. It's a very dangerous game, especially at the wrong time. Like, I have seen my friend.
Warm milk warm is your worst enemy, but warm milk cold is...
Warm milk cold, yes. Friend. Okay, but again, I've... Okay, dude, I've been there at the beginning when the warm milk is fresh, and then I've been walking by at the end when it's 6 hours later and the warm milk's been sitting out for 6 hours. Now, over, like, a warm stove that's cooking melted cheese. Like,
Jason Alt and I, like, you know, sometimes 6 hours later, the warm milk is still your best friend. But that's because you've had enough to drink that it doesn't fucking matter. But, you know, for the most part, when you start adding dairy to your cocktails, that's when shit can go wrong real fast.
Yeah, 100%, man. That is not good. Let's see. We've got a few more in here if I dig down deep. That is an issue. Here's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We do. Brett Matthews, Kofnick asks us, if you could sit around in one federal building for a week with 100 guns and people sending you snacks, which would you choose? Okay. So,
I don't understand the point of this question. Am I selling the guns?
No.
Am I showcasing them? Like, what's going
on? No. I assume he's taking the playoff current event.
And that's fine. Like, I'm excited as shit. What federal building?
Yeah, what federal building with 100 guns and what snacks? So, I mean, I feel like I would sit in the Jefferson Memorial with my 100 guns.
No, Statue of Liberty. I'm sitting in the Statue of Liberty. I'm going to say, like, fucking chicken crackers, cheese, and beef jerky are the snacks.
No, that's not good snacks, man.
Okay, fine.
The beef jerky, I'm cool with.
Pick your snacks? I thought you just had to pick your federal building.
Well, no, it says pick your federal buildings and people sending you snacks. Which would you choose? Oh, hold on. Is he asking us? Wait, if you can sit around.
Federal building, but I went ahead and said, like, hey, I also am going to need chicken crackers and cheese. But, no, I'm going Statue of Liberty. Fuck it. Like,
I'm still so confused by this. I don't understand this question at all.
I've got the question cleared up now. It's like, pick your federal building.
Okay.
You have a bunch of fucking
federal buildings.
Okay, and then pick your snack. That's it.
That's it?
No, that's not
I don't get it. What is the point of this exercise?
Oh, it's amazing. What are you talking about?
You don't get to pick your snacks, man. It's seriously, like, if you are, here's the question, and I'm not even reading it. If you've, like, seriously, if you've got. Like,
I'm not even reading it, but he's going to read it to you.
That's a great, I love that answer. Not even reading it, I'll tell you exactly what's going on.
If you've got a federal.
Oh, it's the best.
And it's like, hey. People are sending you snacks so that you're, you know, like, you don't have to pick, like, I don't know, the National Grain Depository so you can eat. Like, you've got guns around you, you've got fucking snacks being sent to you, and you get to just hole up in a fucking federal building. Which one's it gonna be?
I think Kevin got it, man. Statue of Liberty is pretty dope.
A federal building is not a federal, what have you, as it were.
What? It's a federal building. It's very clear. It's two words. They both make sense. And I would want, better
I'm
chicken
answer, like, I'm gonna go to the J. Edgar Hoover building, and I'm going to Cheez-Its for a week. Like, I still don't fucking get the point of this question.
Hey, man, I don't ask the questions. The whole demands are answers. That's it. Demands answers.
I'm saying fucking Statue of Liberty because, like, I'm going to hang out in her head and up on her fucking torch. So I've got the vantage point. Like, I can pick off anybody who wants to come near me. I'm going to make this last as long as I can. And like, literally the only way you're taking me out of that federal, like, building, I don't even know if that counts as a federal building, but I'm assuming it does because of goddamn Statue of Liberty. And if it's not, then, well, shit. Like,
it might be a monument, but I'll, you know what? I'm going to give it to you.
So I feel like I'm going to hang out up there. I've got an incredible vantage point. I've got snacks coming into me. They people can send me snacks. I'm assuming they're going to be, like, airdropped in or something. Cause I
could be,
like, if you've got one dude that's just bringing me snacks up the stairs, I mean, that's cool too, as long as I can trust that guy. And then I'm just going to hang out in the,
as long as I can trust the guy.
He could be FBI.
You're right.
In there, be like, oh, hey, why don't you drop those? I'm going to point my rifle down. I'm going to say, hey, why don't you drop those snacks right there? I'll come get them. But you're going to have to back down the stairs slowly with your fucking hands on the back of your head. Because
put those chicken crackers down.
You might be some Jack Ryan motherfucker that's going to use those chicken crackers against me, and I'm not going to be okay with it. Like, I got guns, I got ammo, I'm posted up in the top of literally, the only way they're going to be able to get rid of me is, I mean, eventually I'm going to have to run out of ammo.
You're going to run out of chicken crackers, I think. That's how they get you at it.
Well, he never really specifies, like, when your snacks run out.
He could spike. Yeah, but they could also spike your chicken crackers.
This could be a trick question. He's like 100 guns with no ammo. But I'm assuming there's ammunition. The only way they're going to be able to do this is just fucking, like, drone strikes, smoke the Statue of Liberty. And although I have no, like, political statement to say, like, that's going to be fucking hilarious. if they have
chicken crackers.
If they have to smoke the Statue of Liberty because some tattooed white dude from California is posted up in the fucking top just picking people off, and the only way to get rid of him because he's got infinite snacks and infinite ammo, the only way to get rid of him is to just smoke the Statue of Liberty.
I can see CNN right now. I don't know. We can't get rid of him. He has infinite snacks. People keep bringing him snacks.
The Democrats are going to get all fucking crazy talking about me being a gun nut, and the Republicans are going to talk about me being some sort of weird fucking hero. And then, like, I will leave a tape at some point. I'll film it on my phone. I will leave some sort of evidence of, like, no. Both of you guys, shut the fuck up. The reason I did this is because it's fucking funny. Like, you guys don't have a Statue of Liberty anymore. You gotta fucking put up spotlights and build another one and do all sorts of crazy shit because I thought it was funny and I like guns.
Oh my god. Oh my goodness. Andrew Huska, Curly 9117, his question is very timely. He says, what percentage of the cast bloodstream was alcohol during the holidays? I'll tell you this. Yeah, a little bit.
So I had my kid during the holidays, and I wasn't drinking while I was having my baby, so I would say 96%.
For the whole holidays. I would say New Year's Eve, I had some fun, and Christmas Eve, I had some fun. Other than that, I actually didn't have that much time. We were, I was visiting people and shit. It was crazy, but I did enjoy my New Year's Eve. That was very fun.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. I mean, I guess it was more my Christmas day specifically for me. Man, I'm so lucky we met my brother-in-law for fucking breakfast Christmas morning, because he showed up at my in-law's place with two of the overly large novelty-sized bottles of Cook's champagne. And probably nice. 2 gallons of orange juice. And then he just posted
mimosa.
He just posted up on the couch and didn't move the entire day, and pretty much just had a bottle next to him and had the kids bring him OJ. And I had to I had to try to take some off of his hands so he wouldn't be blacked out by dinner time.
So he's like, all right, let's drink.
Yeah, pretty much. So I went pretty deep there. And then New Year's was very similar. I had like a champagne sampler, and that definitely took me to the New Year's. Many, some rosés, some Burt's, a lot of different flavors, a lot of different styles, a lot of little different accoutrements to go with them, some sorbets, some whatnots. It was quite a plethora of champagnes by the end of the night, and that put me down at about 12:30. It made me feel pretty fucking old.
Oh man, I barely made it to fucking New Year's, man. It's as you get older, you're just like, I can't deal with this anymore.
That's just a cop out.
It is. I know you're better than that.
Now, I did some New Year's drinking.
This is true. I will getting near the end of the Twitter hole here.
Really?
TMS, well, maybe. I mean, TMS Wedge, the Manosaurus, asks us...
I mean, shit, we promised our listeners a fucking Twitter hole episode, and I'm pretty sure we spent more time tonight...
We didn't start until,
90 tonight.
Minutes in.
I know.
Yeah,
I feel like we
spent more time on Magic than we did on the Twitter hole, on the Twitter hole episode.
Okay, we'll keep going then. We'll keep going.
We start inviting motherfuckers in.
What the fuck does Wedge Antilles want to know? I prefer the X-Wing, okay? If anyone's asking. Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he says, been listening to some episodes of your cast. You guys are crazy. Funny stuff. MTG has tons of cast. Yours is definitely unique on the unique side. Better than being Cookie Cutter, for sure. He had no question. I just wanted to read his
that
comment.
That was it?
I know. It's sweet. Okay.
Look, there's not a lot of maneuverability in the Y-Wing. Like, I like the bombing capabilities.
Oh, so bad. Okay. Bruce Lee, let's finally get to his
We got to get to some of fucking Bruce Lee's shit.
I know. So you have a choice. You have a choice. You can answer which Jurassic Park dinosaur is not so secretly a cokehead and who's his dealer. Or you can answer
goddamn
the Dilophosaurus, for sure. Not close.
Oh, come on. What? No, it's the freaking... Alphasaurus, whatever that fucking super ninja fucking
the Allosaurus.
No, what are you talking? No, the one that's bred, the super one. What's it called? The X-Menosaurus?
No, You guys are you guys obviously haven't spent a lot of time with cokeheads. The Velociraptor. Your Velociraptor is the epitome of a cokehead. They're Are you kidding me? They're the epitome of cokehead. They're fucking they're aggressive. They learn. Yes. Like, even though there's shit they're not supposed to learn, they learn real fast. Their eyes are wide the fuck open the whole time. They're small, they're fast. Like, I mean, you don't have to be small to be a cokehead, but usually that's kind of part of the deal. Like, if you're a cokehead, like, you're not a big guy. Like,
you're learning and you're learning. That's the key, right?
Oh, no, it's like you're learning, but in a weird way. You're like, you know, like, I haven't figured out how to get in this cage yet, but I figured out how to fucking reach around and fucking grab you here and fucking slit your fucking leg open. Or like, oh, hey, I have to figure out how to use these tools in the kitchen, but I figured out how to use the doorknob and we're going to go kill something. That's how cokeheads think. Your classic,
classic
Velociraptor is your classic cokehead. If you're going to the Jurassic Park world, that is exactly how
I'm pretty sure
to communicate to each other. They're gonna be like, oh, hey, man, hey. They'll start clicking and whistling and doing all sorts of weird shit to make sure that they're gonna get their bag. Hey, I've spent time with cokehead.
Okay. I mean, I think you just described the plot to Jurassic Park 5, but I don't know. Like, I think it's there, right? Hybrid cokehead dinosaurs?
Yeah, they figured out how to control them. Get them to cocaine and be their only source.
Yeah, Jurassic Park, South America.
They're not interested in... All right, here's another one, gentleman from yours truly, Bruce. He says, in your own words, what is the difference between a pyramid scheme and a Fonzie scheme? Well, I think that's very clear.
One of those is schemes that are just done by Fonzie.
That's where you're wrong. You get a little ahead. A pyramid scheme.
Jump over a pyramid of sharks. Like if there's
no
motorcycle is gonna make it over.
No. It's very, very clear. The difference, a pyramid is a scheme that is built in a triangle shape, where a Fonzie scheme is built only to epitomize the Fonz.
Only
so,
over a shark pit, I believe.
I'm pretty sure sharks are involved in the last level of the Fonzie scheme, but the first level of the Fonzie scheme is underwear and a leather jacket. That's at least what I was told. I'm not sure if it works that way for everyone.
A pyramid scheme is a bunch of people that believe that aliens came here and built the pyramids, and a Fonzie scheme is a bunch of people that are willing to accept the fact that, like, a dude like Henry Winkler going fucking A with his thumbs up in a leather jacket is a legitimate thing for TV. Like, they're two completely different things.
They probably are more related than you think.
There's a lot of things that are different between them. Like, one of them's, you know, a Fonzie scheme. One of them's a pyramid scheme.
I'm pretty sure Fonzie jumped over a pyramid scheme, and that's how the Fonzie scheme was created. But I don't know. I could be out of touch. It's been a while.
He didn't jump over a pyramid of sharks. It's because he's afraid. Can't collide. Well,
Also, I'm pretty sure that they make you buy the sharks. And that's because then they just sell two sharks for every one shark you bought. Is that how it works? Anyways,
question for us to answer.
It's a horrible. Yeah, it's too late and there's too much alcohol involved for me to calculate that. He asked us
6:40 in the evening, my friend.
Here. No, but it's true. Here's a good one for you, Kevy. He says, would you rather have the power of the voodoo or the power of Grayskull?
Voodoo.
I don't know what the Oh my god! What is even the power of the voodoo? I know
it's
what
from
voodoo
that stupid
is.
Song.
What? Yeah, what song?
Who do you do? Yeah, no, we're not getting into the song. What? I'm just going. Voodoo.
Maddie's so lost.
Oh wait, is that a Prodigy song? The voodoo, no, voodoo.
Really? Are you high? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, he appears to be high.
We got the piss test, Maddie. Maddie's high.
No, I know. I remember a Prodigy song that that it's like the voodoo people. Yeah,
that's not
voodoo people. The hoodoo.
No, we're not. Right, that's not at all what we're talking about. But okay. we're talking about David Bowie, son.
Oh, sorry. I would want Grayskull. I don't know what the fuck. Why wouldn't I want the power of the universe?
The power of the voodoo, is straight up David Bowie. But
that is Prodigy, son.
I'm still going like the power of voodoo versus the power of, what was the other one? I don't care.
Grayskull.
Oh, Grayskull. Nobody gives a shit about, oh, hey, look, I'm wearing my underwear, and now I get a sword. No, nobody gives a shit. Like, fucking,
dude,
like,
it's
straight, like, Jamaican voodoo, like, bring your shit back from the dead with chicken heads. Like, that's the power I want to have.
Dude, the power of the universe would step all over your chicken heads. It wouldn't even be close. I'd be standing there with a fucking pelt made of beaver fur around my junk with a giant sword with the power of the fucking universe. And you're sitting there just making chicken soup. Like, what?
I'm just like, okay. I feel like this should be like in a Johnny versus Liliana duel deck. Like, this is just fucking...
It's like, yes.
Like Maddie on his fucking cat tiger like bringing the dead back. And like, this is a Johnny versus Liliana duel deck. And I'm pretty sure... I don't think there's any like fucking 100 plus fucking a Johnny cards out there. So I feel like I win this.
I think we could just destroy a bunch of lands and it's all good. But you could be correct. You could be correct. I don't know if TZG has anything to add to the voodoo power of the universe.
Yeah, it's...
Are you sitting back here loving
the next person? But it's definitely the power of Grayskull.
See, I'm telling you,
the power of voodoo, real voodoo, you do.
Right? Prodigy, 1990. Okay, he also asks, how long can you legally make an episode without having KYT ban you from Mana Deprived? That is actually something that we tested.
I think we hit 4.5 hours once, didn't we?
We did. We crested the 4-hour mark, and I got a letter from the editors of Mana Deprived.
Cease and desist letter from our own company.
Yep. Yeah, no, I did. I got a letter, and they're like, if you continue to post episodes that are 4 times the length of the regular episode, they're like, you can only post 1 episode a month. So, I think we're still – we like to play with that figure, but definitely I believe it's 4. I think you could probably go 4.5. But 5 hours?
The way I feel is like we're bringing that much more content. Like, you don't have to listen to it as an episode. Like, this is like us doing fucking 4 episodes a week. Yeah, you could listen to this in like, you could listen to this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then wait for the new one to come out Friday. Fuck it. It's like you could do all sorts of shit with this, but like if we could do 4 hours a week, like that's just us bringing more content. That's like getting mad at fucking somebody writing an article and they're like, oh, well, I mean, we're paying you for like a fucking, 1,000-word article and you wrote 3 books. Like,
no one would read that article, dude.
I get it. There's a good chance like you're gonna get lost in between and you're gonna be like, oh, fuck it. But like, that's our fans anyway. They're like, we have our fans that are like, I love every minute of it. We have our fans that are like, I listen to it on 7x speed because you guys might say something important. There's our fans that listen to it and say, I had to break it into parts. There's our fans that say, why the fuck aren't you guys doing 4-hour episodes anymore? And then we have newcomers that are like, oh, how come this podcast is so long? Like,
we got a new bunch that are like, why aren't you casting every day? And I was like, dude, our livers can't handle that. We can't. I can't. I personally can't. I can't handle that.
Can't please everybody. So here's what we do. We get drunk and then we talk about magic until we can't anymore. And then we
Twitter hole.
And then we stop. Then we Twitter hole. Then we do that till we can't anymore, and then Maddie edits it for your.
And then we're done. All right, here's a good one. This is actually, it brings us back to the beginning of the episode, TSG. Jean-Claude Van Damme has fought his way onto the set of Star Wars Episode 7. Who does he replace? Oh my God, hands down.
What?
Jean-Claude Van Damme, man. Okay. Here it is, Star Wars Episode 7. No, J.J. Abrams is sitting there. He's about to yell action. Jean-Claude Van Damme fights his way onto the set. No, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I got to go make a drink because I don't want to have any spoilers.
There's no spoilers. It's Jean-Claude Van Damme. He fights his way onto the set. Who does he replace? Come on, hands down, I think
Snoke.
He's replacing. Oh, wow. Okay. That was out of nowhere, but I like it. I like where you're going. Although he's not going to get to show off his butterfly kicks.
Well, are we talking about current Jean-Claude Van Damme, or are we talking about, like, Time Cop Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Dude, have you seen Jean-Claude Van Damme? He's in good shape. He can still do his shit. He can still dance.
That is what we need more of in Star Wars, is dancing.
I mean, he could still do that dance from whatever fucking movie that was. It was Bloodsport. I don't know. I think if anything, Jean-Claude Van Damme could definitely replace. Jesus, man. I mean, obviously he replaces Kylo Ren, but that's too easy because I think Kylo Ren did a good job. But I think, you know what? Jean-Claude Van Damme replacing Carrie Fisher. Very interesting. I'm excited.
Easiest to replace.
All I'm saying is, you know. Fucking dude, spoilers happens. X, oh my god, spinning heel kick to the head, spoiler, ah, like that's amazing, right? You know it, like that's amazing. I'm just saying. All right, anyways, we're gonna move down the list here because it gets even more interesting. Bruce Lee continues to ask, you can have anyone, I know, you can have anyone as a servant for a one day, who would it be? Don't pick Scarlett, you boring person. God, you know what? That's bullshit, first of all, for you to even say that I would pick Scarlett, because that's exactly what I was going to say.
I know, right? But, how dare he?
Fine. Servant. Who do I want as a servant?
Andre the Giant.
He's dead.
Probably Gordon Ramsay.
He's an asshole, though. He would yell at you. I wouldn't want someone to be like, fuck you, you keep...
Oh, I got it. Tom Cruise.
That sounds way weirder than the one I mentioned. Okay.
Okay. No, we're going Tom Cruise. I'm making that motherfucker do whatever the fuck I want to for a day. Like, he's just like a tiny little man that's angry about everything and he believes in Scientology. Like, the terrible shit I'm going to make that guy do.
I like where you're going.
I'm going to add, like, first thing, like, I don't know, like, I'm going to wake up early for this. Like, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm just going to make him go buy me Bibles. I don't even believe in God, but I'm going to make Tom Cruise go buy me Bibles.
cook some eggs and serve them to me on a fresh Bible.
Then, like, there's gonna be this self indulgent side of me. It's like, I'm gonna wake up. All right, man. Hey, could you go give me some breakfast from McDonald's? Like, I need you to walk in though. It's better when you walk in. Don't go through the drive thru. And then he'll bring me breakfast, and then I will ask him to like redo his entire role from Top Gun, start to end. As my breakfast theater. So I get to eat my Egg McMuffin and some pancakes and some extra hash browns while I watch Tom Cruise try to redo his role as fucking Maverick.
So Kevy, if I came over to your house and I brought my manservant Val Kilmer, we could watch an almost dead Val Kilmer cook us food while Tom Cruise insults him and judges him on his choices in life, but then they're forced to interact.
Because, like, in the volleyball scene, we're going to make him play salmon ball in my backyard. Shirtless.
Wow. That's a 20 million hit YouTube video. Crazy.
After we have breakfast in bed from McDonald's.
Oh my god.
Then we just make them reenact the whole volleyball scene, but playing salmon ball in the backyard, getting drunk shirtless. Just because, I mean, I think it'll be fun.
And then obviously, I mean, to end it, I would want Val Kilmer to squeeze into the Batman Forever outfit and read lines from Batman and Robin, even though he wasn't in that movie, to Tom Cruise as if Tom Cruise was the Penguin. Oh my God. And they would be so confused, but it would be glorious.
We teamed up on this. Like, that's not even fair.
It's hands down.
Because Tom Cruise is my servant, so I could, like, as soon as, like, he looks at me like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? I'm fucking Tom
you're
Cruise.
You're like,
I'm,
yeah.
No, the only thing you're allowed to say is, rah, 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 rah. And then you have to waddle out of here. Yes. Do it. Yes. Do it. Do it.
Oh, my God. And you could then give him, like, bizarre things like, no, I don't want you to be the Penguin from the Tim Burton movies. You have to be the Penguin from the 1960s series. Go.
And then and the coup de grace, like at the end of the night, we're finally going to, like, have to release, like, our control over these people. We just tee up Tom Cruise on a little football tee and have tubby-ass Val Kilmer fucking run up and punt him over my back fence. And we're good.
Oh, no, but before we do that, we have him put on cat makeup from the Island of Dr. Moreau, and he has to lick Tom Cruise's ass.
Oh, no, there's a lot of shit that won't make it on the podcast.
Oh, my God. We can yeah, you know what? There's a lot of things that could get too personal.
Hour by hour, like the weird shit that I would make Tom Cruise do just to embarrass the shit out of him and record for YouTube. It's not going to be weird for anything. It's not gonna be like, oh man, I'm gonna have him take. No, like, it'd just be shit I would record for posterity. I would just make that dude do a bunch of terribly demeaning shit just to be an asshole.
Oh my God, the tweets, like every.
Then I'd make him play magic and watch him freak out.
Oh my God, yeah, no, they couldn't even comprehend that. That's beyond their comprehension level. DSG, what servant would you have?
I'm still going with Gordon Ramsay, man. I'm eating like a king for at least a day. Oh yeah.
All right, then you have, as long as TSG comes over at the same time, me and Kevin will bring the entertainment. You bring the food.
Sounds like a party.
And then Gordon Ramsay could just yell at them both. I feel like we could fucking idiots.
I feel like we could technically skip TSG's fucking, like, TSG's pick, because we'd be like, oh, hey, you're Tom Cruise, you're Val Kilmer. Get us dinner from Gordon Ramsay. And then, like, TSG's got to come over and bring his servant to make us dinner. And, like, we still won.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is, yeah, I don't know. That's got to be a TV show. At least 12 episodes on MTV.
Way too far.
Yeah, sometimes we go a little too far. Okay, so I'm not even sure this makes sense, but let's try. If a Heavy Meta cast member is in a year-long hiatus, who do you collectively pick as your substitute? I don't know, Bruce. I mean, who's
available? Who's a free agent?
Yeah, really. Who's willing to do this? This job isn't easy, let me tell you. And even though it sounds fun, it's quite taxing.
Probably just Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. Oh, well, shit. If I could have anybody, hands down, Ron Burgundy. Secondary, maybe Tom Cruise.
I wouldn't want to be around Tom Cruise if given the opportunity. I have no interest in being around that.
Yeah. So, like, Christian just leaves. He's just all, no, fuck this, I'm out.
But he would be. But you understand the role of him on the show would be to ground the show in the realism that is Scientology. So
that is
it would put it out. Yeah, it would just be so obscure. It would be like a weird, like.
I really am wondering this now that we're talking about it. If we could bill ourselves, like, to try to drive fucking sales on iTunes and shit, if we could bill ourselves as a Scientology podcast. Like, can you just click a box?
Oh my God.
Can you click a box and call us? It's like when you sign up for, like, certain music websites. They're like, what genre are you? You're like, oh, well, metal, punk rock, and fucking whatever alternative, and like this podcast would be like magic, humor, Scientology, and just see where it takes
us.
Oh
my God! Do you think we could honestly do that? Maybe do a pilot episode.
I don't know. Let's see.
Heavy metal Scientology tips and tricks.
We should do.
Come on,
Scientology tips
and drinks.
Tips and drinks. Like, we can, yeah. We can get.
Oh, dude. Like, fucking episode one, how to beat your e-meter.
Yes, right? How to be drunk but still alive. How to beat your e-meter. Tips and tricks, man. Dude, I'm telling you. I think you're on to something.
Episode two, Thetans and you, how to get around them.
Yeah. Episode three, how big is fucking dude's cock? I don't know. I don't even know. What is it, grand?
Go straight to a sad face.
Yes. Just you no.
Sad face.
Episode four, it's cost $10,000 to proceed.
I just start my own Scientology-based fucking magic article series.
Wow. I'm in. We'll put it on MTG Goldfish. It'll get us so many hits. We'll Saffron Olive. I want you to make me a deck based on Scientology. I want a modern deck.
Based on Scientology.
Yeah, Thoughtseize, Path to Exile. Bunch of Eldrazi's. Wow, what the fuck? There you go. Maybe the Black White Eldrazi deck is Scientology.
It's a bunch of shit that I don't play, but I could get into it, like, for Scientology, like, for scientific purposes.
I like it, man. I think this is totally interesting. Here's a question for you, good sir. What are the fundamentals to success in MTG Puzzle Quest? Tip, I've never played this game. I have no idea what Puzzle Quest even is, but I appear Kevy is the resident expert.
Fundamentals for success is just fucking play it. It's fucking puzzle game. It's like Tetris plus magic. Don't spend your fucking, like, if I could give you any advice, don't spend your money on fucking, like, the starter pack and shit. Like, they give you a sweet little deal that they tell you. They're like, oh, you could get this many packs and this many fucking like runestone things, because crystals and runestones. Ugh, it's fucking ridiculous. But they tell you get this fucking sweet deal for like $8.99. Like the game's fucking free. You basically, as you go along, you play like through the story mode. Every time you fucking play a fucking match, you get fucking crystals or runestones, and then you open up like packs, or you can go buy packs with them. Fucking Daniel, my fucking brother-in-law, just bought the fucking, like, the starter pack. He's just like, yeah, I'm just gonna buy it. So he spent fucking, like, $9 on the starter pack, and he got, like, one mythic and zero rares, and that was it. And he had nothing to play with. But when you play, like, if you just start the game and play it by yourself, like, through the story mode for a few, you get all those things anyway. So don't fucking do that shit. Like, don't buy the fucking starter pack for $9. That's just $9 wasted. And just buy the shit, learn how to play the game as you're going, and then, like, when you have all your shit anyway, then you go in to start playing against other people. That's it. Maddie, boom. You should play the fucking game. It's fun.
Tristan, dude, I
have no interest.
I don't know. I have so many fucking things to try to play. Oh, here's a tip.
Now, by the way, like, side note, I got about yay far in this game, and then I just started playing NHL 2K anyway, and then that took over me playing my, like, toilet games and shit. But don't get me wrong, like, jumping in, playing for free,
toilet,
like,
games.
Do either of you guys have an iPhone? Like, this is the first fucking... No. I don't know if it's available on the other fucking platform, because I don't
get it. X5.
I have an iPhone.
Okay.
Ooh.
Tristan, you should pick it up. You should check it out. See what happens. Like, see if you, like...
Wait. Stop. Right there, that is Apple's new marketing for 2016. Hey, do you have an iPhone? You should pick it up. See what happens. So blatant. I love it.
No, like, for real though, like, it's a different type of, like, the one thing I can give about this game, it brings the magic mechanics into things, but it does it in a different way that is interesting. It's fun. Like, here's a great example. Dr. Jeebus, who hates everything, loves the game. Like, he loves playing the game. It's fucking
shining endorsement.
I know it sounds like a fucking a backhanded fucking endorsement, but it is. Like, that guy hates everything.
It is a backhanded endorsement.
Yeah, that guy hates everything to do with Magic. I mean, he loves the game apparently, but he hates everything to do with Magic. I still love Dr. Jeebus, but like, he hates everything that I think is good about Magic. He's just all, that's fucking stupid. But he loves this fucking game. He loves playing it. There's a different kind of strategy that goes into it. I mean, it's like playing Tetris and Magic at the same time, sort of. But, like, it's one of those time killer games. It's not something that you're going to, like, spend fucking time and money on, which is why I don't recommend you spend any money on it at all. Just get the game for free. Check it out. It's basically about putting fucking, like, tiles together kind of thing. But then, like, your planeswalkers get abilities and you get to cast creatures off of it. And they did a good job of, like, kind of keeping the mechanics. Like, even though the game works differently, they keep the mechanics, like, haste and shit like that. They keep it the same. They keep it working well. But it's balanced. It's, I don't know. It's good for, like, a Magic player that is just looking for a random ass fucking game to play while they're fucking around here and there for a couple minutes on their fucking phone. Don't fucking play the goddamn Duels of the Planeswalker game. Play that one. That one's way better.
Agreed. I think this is one of the last questions we got tonight, folks. I think it's very clear for at least me. Ban or unban? Good old ban or unban question. Here we go. The Yub Nub song at the end of Return of the Jedi. Unbanned for me, hands down, it is that. You know what? If you, Tristan earlier said, what symbolizes Star Wars? That, Yub Nub. That song symbolizes Star Wars for me. Unbanned. Unbanned. What do you think?
I don't even know how I feel about that. That's,
oh my God. Against that, like, fucking
song. It was the special edition song. Was the Celebrate the Love song, and I can't stand that.
Oh God, that was like some ninth. It was like some funk beat.
Yeah,
oh,
so it's not even necessarily about celebrating Yub Nub as much as it is about fucking hating what they replaced it with.
No, Yub, it's not. It's, you know, about a bunch of fucking.
Yub Nub's all right. Like, Yub Nub's
all
right.
No.
That's not what Star Wars is all about. Like, I feel like you missed.
Oh my God.
Star Wars.
What?
Yub Nub is
no.
Star Wars was all.
Ah, oh, fuck you, you're gonna fire me up again. No, listen, they're a bunch of fucking ape bears that can't speak English. They don't even have a fucking language, for Christ's sakes. Yeah. And yet they're playing Skulls of Their Enemies. Their song is realistic. That is how a bear monkey, that is how a miniature bear monkey would celebrate smashing a giant fucking dinosaur metal monster thing.
I love how much fucking Matty hates midgets, but he still, like, as long as they have fur, he locks on it. Like, he loves them. Like,
No. They were creepy as shit, man. That one with the double lip. No way. I'm not saying I would put a fucking Ewok in my bed or anything, or even have them in my house. They'd stay in the garage, the backyard.
Would you be
only if it was attacking me, and I don't know. Like, first of all, look, if they beat me, they would definitely, you know, carve my skull and play a song on it. I'm just saying, that song makes sense. The fact that, like, a monkey bear could play a xylophone, and he could not only play a xylophone, but he could rank the skulls to make the sound notes correctly to play that song. That's Star Wars, man. That is Star Wars. That is logistics. That is realism. That is fucking humans versus monkey bears. That is real, dude. That is fucking real. And I'm a fucking stormtrooper. I'm clad in armor. Like, not plastic. Kevlar. Like, that's the Empire put technology into that. Yet a monkey bear threw a fucking stone at me and then carved my skull to make a xylophone out of it? What? That is what Star Wars 7 was missing.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I still feel like that whole fucking, like, don't get me wrong, I love Ewoks. They're cute as shit. That's awesome. But I still feel like that shouldn't symbolize the whole fucking, the whole world of Star Wars.
Okay.
No, like, the whole, that shouldn't be your fucking shop. Because, like, seriously, that's like if, like, raccoons were, like, the whole battle of good versus evil in humans. And, like, yeah. You're like, oh, raccoons could make some music sometimes. Or raccoons are cute. Like, they
raccoons
don't.
Raccoons are disgusting. And first of all, raccoons can't
you're
play music.
About, you're talking about, like, the whole, like, you're looking at, like, the Cold War between fucking, the U.S. and fucking the USSR.
Nailed it.
And they're like, and it's like, oh, hey, by the way, some hippies ended up in the jungle, and they were hanging out with some raccoons, and, like, that's what you took out of it?
Look.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I believe that every species, everybody has their place here. But,
no.
Like,
no,
I mean, you're talking
monkey
in the middle of the Cold
not.
War, like in the middle of the Cold War. If we were to team up with the fucking raccoons, I think we might have lost.
No. Russia was the fucking monkey bears. America was the stormtroopers. That's if you look at Star Wars.
Monkey
correctly,
bear. It's funny you keep saying monkey bear. Monkey bear has been my nickname for my son since he was born. That's fucking hilarious.
That is so not true. Monkey bears are come on.
Like, I 100% true. Monkey Bear has been fucking, like, I know I've said this before on the fucking podcast.
No, you've
like,
never said that. You've never monkey said Monkey Bear before.
Monkey Bear has been fucking Brody's name since he was a kid, like a baby.
Monkey Bear, are you serious? Because Monkey Bears is what I've referred to Ewoks as a slanderous term for the past 30 years. That's like when people are like, I love Ewoks. I'm like, no, those horrible Monkey Bears were like atrocities. I'm sure an evil scientist bred them in something, because that's not real. Actually, if you think about it, do you know what they are? They're midget fucking Chewbaccas.
They're raccoons. They're fucking raccoons.
Fucking midget Chewbaccas, man. No wonder I hate midgets so much. It's because Chewbacca fucking can't stand.